This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
What are we
going
to do?
I don't know. We've got like 5 seconds yet before we've got
Let's
to start.
Let's make it count.
All right, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, we can start now.
Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome, Traveller. Welcome to the fucking show. It's time now for some nonsense with Ray Peacock. Oh, bloody hell, we've got a load of bloody fucking guests in a minute.
You didn't tell me it was a fucking show today.
Well, you're in for a treat. Coming up on the fucking show, Danny Posthill. That's our first guest, Danny Posthill. He was the boy off the thing.
PGT.
Yep, PG Tips, Danny Posthill. And coming all the way into the studio, Eric Lampert. Lampert. It's Lampert, isn't it?
I think it's, yes, it is Lampert.
Comedian anyway, isn't he? Is he a boy or a girl? Now, look, big fat black lady in the road.
Where?
Over there on the phone, look.
Big fat, on the bench?
No, she's just over there by them cars. Big fat black lady.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Sorry, that was mic's meant to be off. Also, Mr. Rob Deering. Rob Deering should be joining us in the studio later on as well. Rob Deering, comedian boy, very, very funny, Molly. He'll be coming on. I should probably apologise about the big fat black lady thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing that me and Nat do in the studio. So, you know, some people like go, if they see a mini, they'll go, oh, take a mini. They're like, oh, yellow car, and they'll punch each other. We have a thing where if we see a big fat black lady, and I didn't know that the mics were up, so apologise. It was Nat's idea for the game. And Barry Dodds, shit! Barry Dodds! Barry Dodds will be on the show as well. Always on the show, Barry Dodds. He's got just 10 more weeks left.
Oh.
10 more weeks left of his punishment.
I put it up to 12, I thought.
Was it 12?
Yeah, just added some on.
Well, today's is counting down from 12.
Yeah, we got...
Some Nonsense with Ray Peacock on FUBAR Radio.
Right, I just remembered that yesterday I put my phone so it vibrates when I get messages, which
okay.
I don't normally have, and I can't remember how I did it.
I know how to do it.
Do you? What do I press?
Go into settings.
Settings, right. Is it general?
It's not general. No, it's sounds.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, here we go. Okay, got it. Yeah, sounds.
At the top, you've got vibrate.
Vibrates on ring.
And
I just turn that off.
Silent. Yeah.
There we go. So I'll turn that off. So don't worry, listener. That's all sorted out now,
yes,
for you.
That's that done.
I'm changing my real life, so to deal with that. I've been on Sky this morning.
I know.
Very tired boy. Had a fight with a Tory.
Why?
Really shouted at him.
What did he do?
I felt quite bad, because I spoke to Eamon Holmes about it afterwards and said, I think I sometimes come across, like, when I'm being passionate, it sometimes comes across as aggressive, and I didn't mean it to be aggressive.
I've never noticed that.
No, but he was, but you like it in sex.
Yeah, sometimes.
That biting you like. She likes it on the soft bit of your shoulder, you know, the soft bit of the shoulder.
That's quite nice, actually.
I know you do. Yeah. She loves that. And sometimes it's like, it can't be too hard, we know. Mm. Bizarre. What's missing from here?
It's the...
The desk. There's a hole in the desk.
There's no desk here. We're stood up and just... things
what
are
used to be there?
It used to be the charger.
The charger? Oh, yeah, the plugs.
The
there was plugs there, wasn't
the
there?
Plug thing.
Shit. Have you started selling stuff off?
No, it was affecting the equipment on the desk. As in, you know when the screen used to flicker?
And it took how long to work that out?
Yeah, a few weeks, isn't it?
So how long's this station been going?
A year and a bit.
But a year and a half now, getting on for.
Oh, yeah, it will be, won't it? Yeah.
And you've just realised that the extender cable that was nailed to the desk...
wasn't nailed.
Well, what are them holes for then, Nat?
That's not for that. What?
It is.
It's not.
Well, what are them holes?
I don't know. Sometimes you just need a hole, don't you?
Sometimes you do just need a hole, yeah. Anyway, I shouted at this man. I think it's Matthew Hancock, I think he was called.
Yes.
He was in charge of benefits or something. Do you know what? I didn't even listen. And I came off air, and I was on with Michelle Gale, my good friend Michelle.
Yep.
Michelle Gale.
Hattie from EastEnders.
That was her name in EastEnders, wasn't it? And she'd done that song.
My Sweetness is
Your
Weakness.
One as well. She was going, she went, oh, it's really good, yeah, I'm glad you saw it. Because you had a go at him as well.
Mm.
She went, I'm glad you went for him like that. And I thought for a second, I said, I just didn't really like his face.
Mm.
That was all it was.
Sometimes that's all you need with somebody.
Just a posh, privileged bloke. I just didn't like
it. Bow tie?
Didn't have a bow tie on there. But I found out later on, I wish I'd known this before, that he was, I asked him at one point, has he ever been on benefits? Because he was talking about benefits and people on benefits. And I said, have you ever been on benefits? He said, no. And I said, well, I have. And this is what's called me trouble on Twitter. Because they think I... I think I have a right to have benefits, which I actually do think that. He apparently was like university, then in the family business and all that sort of, all that sort of stuff. So never known hardship in his life.
Mm.
Yeah, he's in charge of how to deal with people who are suffering hardship.
What was the family business?
I didn't go that far on Twitter
with
it. Gold
bullions.
I imagine it was gold bullions. I might not have even said his name right. So, point of the matter is, as you're all accustomed to now, when I do Sky in the morning, then come do this. Fucked. Mm. It's also why I've been swearing a lot, because I'm not allowed to swear on Sky.
Oh, I see. Don't let it all out now. Well, yeah. I thought I was dreaming this morning when I looked at your Twitter and saw that you were tweeting Michelle Gale. I thought, what?
I tweeted her back.
Yeah, but yeah. Still, just your tweet.
That's
Michelle.
All right. I know famous people.
No, I know.
I know Michelle Gale, and I know... who else do we know off EastEnders? I used to know Tom Watt.
Oh, Kurt...
Lofty.
Lofty, not Curly.
Yeah, not Curly. Lofty. Yeah. Although, interestingly, one night on Twitter, I had a long conversation with Curly Watts.
About?
I can't remember, but I remember him being good value.
Okay.
But I can't remember what it was about.
What was Lofty like?
I never met him in person.
Right.
He used to do, when I was on BBC London, he used to do the sport.
Yeah, I think he mazed... I don't know.
He possibly still does. Yeah, he's a big football fan, like, he knows his stuff. But he was like... The problem is with it is they told us when we first started working on that station to not mention Lofty and not mention EastEnders.
Oh, God, right, okay.
So, like, literally from the first show onwards, for 6 months we lasted there, Tom Lofty Watts. Going to go over to Brentwood now to speak to Tom Lofty Watts.
Was it him that had a problem with it?
No.
Management?
No sense of humour about it at all.
Oh, right, okay.
He didn't like it. Which, again, made us do it more.
I would say if he'd not been Lofty, he would not have been on BBC London.
I'm not sure that's true, because I think...
What would he have done?
I think he was a bit of a sporto anyway, to begin with.
Didn't he go out with the punk?
Did he go out with Mary?
Yeah.
Punk Mary. Here's another link. I saw her play Columbia in the Rocky Horror Show.
Right.
At the Piccadilly Theatre in London. She was wonderful. What's her name?
Linda?
Linda Smith. Not Linda Smith. Mm. No, that's the other lady. Linda...
LaPlante?
Linda LaPlante. That's, of course, who it was. Linda LaPlante, who played Punk Mary in EastEnders. Does anyone know? Do you know?
No, can Google someone just, Google.
Or give us a call if you know. 0330-223-0200. What the name of the lady was who played Punk Mary in EastEnders. I think she became a producer and stuff.
Oh, I was going to say heroin addict, but that's
Mary.
That's Mary.
That's
Mary,
the character,
isn't it? Yeah. Did she have an affair with Dirty Den or Wilmot Brown?
Don't know.
Then he went all wrong, didn't he, and raped someone.
Think of all the... There's Linda Davidson.
Linda Davidson.
It is all wrong when you go and rape someone.
That's never right.
I agree with you. Wilmot Brown is a bad lot.
He was bad, wasn't he?
No wonder they burnt down the Dagmar.
It's the Dagmar, yeah.
Think of all the stuff you could have in your head. Think of all the stuff you could learn.
I know.
If you just let some of that information go.
I need to push some of it out. I shouldn't care what the Dagmar
is. Did you see then that I'd let go Linda Davidson? I'd just let it go.
Yeah.
So I could fill my head with another name, so I can remember yours.
Yeah,
which is
otherwise.
Of course.
But now
Nat Fubar.
I'm worried that you'll now forget mine because you've remembered Linda Davidson.
No, now I remembered Linda Davidson. I won't remember your name, Tony.
Oh no.
So the show today. I'm kind of. It was all right last time because Adam was in here and I was trying to sell that sign.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying that Adam was falling to pieces.
Yeah, he did. Well, he still is.
Why?
I've looked at his Twitter. I'm worried about him.
You worried about Adam? Why?
Because he's in Edinburgh for the month doing the show. I'm trying to find his Twitter now. And he just keeps going on a rant about the public transport system there. And he sent a tweet at 1:20 in the morning, like going on a proper route.
But 1:20 in the morning isn't 1:20 in the morning in Edinburgh, is it?
No, it's basically like 9 o'clock, isn't it, in the evening. But but I know he's been on a date. Oh, even 3 hours ago. Why don't you Lothian buses? Why don't you give change? It's ridiculous.
Amazing.
This is the one that he sent at 1:20, which was, what does it take to get a decent transportation system, Edinburgh? How do you function as a city? Lazy arseholes.
I'd say that the transportation in Edinburgh is pretty decent.
Why is he tweeting a general tweet just to Edinburgh?
It's people like that. That's the reason that people who are indigenous to Edinburgh fucking hate the festival. These kids come up from London going, what do you mean they've got any change for the bus? It's like, well, that's just the way it is. You've got to.
Well, is that another one? Well done, Lothian buses. I didn't think it was possible to get a worse journey on your server. You
Let's
proved me
Let's
wrong. A leaking bus roof. That's what he said.
Now, depending on where Adam had been, That might not have been the roof that was leaking.
That, well, I know that he's been on a date with a bus driver.
Fucking amazing.
Whilst he's there, because he wants some cheap travel, I think. He's livid. There's not a... I have to come round.
Why?
Oh, he's also always tweeting.
The last time you came round, you put your boob on my shoulder.
Oh,
and it was
okay.
Nice, but it was like... If you just want to do it. Just say, can I put my boob on your shoulder? But don't go, I have to come round.
Is that the Krypton factor going through?
Yep, there we go. Nat's currently trying to dial a phone through some through some speaker stands.
Yeah, it's really, really convenient.
And they'll be gone next week, won't they? You know, they'll be sold as well, along with the extension lead.
It's on the floor.
If you'd have said, we'd have all signed it. We could have all, me and Justin and Dolan and all that lot. I bet Dolan could have got Katie Hopkins to sign it. What the fuck is he thinking of, by the way? It's all right, we'll do it. It's great. Will he answer, Adam?
I hope so.
Wait, he's just been doing that show, then.
Yeah,
he might
be
busy.
He'll still be around, but he's probably shouting at a bus driver, isn't he, or something?
Hang on.
Oh. Hello?
Adam?
Yeah.
Right, mate, it's Ray.
Hey, all right, Ray. How are you going?
Hey, up.
I'm okay. Nat's here as well. We're getting a bit concerned about you. Can you speak for a minute?
Yeah, I can speak for a minute.
He sounds wasted.
Yeah. Have you been to bed, Adam?
Yeah, I've been to bed.
Okay.
Where, not my bed. But...
When? What day? What day? What day did you go to bed?
Not on whose bed?
No, I've been to bed.
All right. Okay. Oh. Show off.
The lady protests too much.
We're worried about you, Adam.
Why?
We've just been looking at your Twitter and we're really worried about you.
Are you okay?
Is it because I'm moaning about Edinburgh?
Well, it's not Edinburgh, is it? It's buses, particularly buses. It's like that. It's classic breakdown symptoms. Mm. It's where you get obsessive about one thing.
I mean, why did you at 1:20 tweet basically the whole of Edinburgh, not even asking anybody to say, call them lazy arseholes?
Yeah, not even buses, mate. Yeah. You said to the entire population of Edinburgh, you are lazy arseholes.
Yeah.
What's the issue? What issue have you got?
It was just about the transportation.
Yeah, but what
about it?
It's just we couldn't get me and Amanda couldn't get a cab. We couldn't get a bus.
You couldn't get a cab in Edinburgh.
No, you can't get a taxi in Edinburgh. It's ridiculous.
That's nonsense, mate. Where were you looking for a cab? Where were you looking for one?
In the streets. Where else would I look for a taxi?
But what street? Like down a dead end somewhere? Or where? There's loads of taxis in Edinburgh.
It was Prince's Street.
Right.
No, not Prince's Street. It was the main street. You
that's
know,
Prince's, where, Street. Yeah. Prince's Street.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, was it very, very busy?
Yeah.
Right. So it was that other people were getting the cabs. Is that what the issue was?
Everyone else got a taxi apart from us, yeah.
Everybody else in Edinburgh got a taxi apart from
all
you.
Those lazy arseholes got taxis.
Well, they're not being that lazy, are they? They're going out of their way to find taxis.
Yeah. They could have walked a bit lazy.
Did you try a taxi rank?
Yes, we did. We waited there for ages and they didn't show up and their queue was huge, so we decided to walk the rest of the way.
You could have just bobbed over to the station, gone over to Waverley and you could have got one from there.
At that time, though. Half one.
It's a bit more secluded, isn't it?
Couldn't you call a taxi? I know you've got a minicab number because I used it when I was there to get me a cab. So
yeah, thought about that.
Yeah, the last time I rang it, the woman hung up on me.
Well, it's because you called her a lazy arsehole, probably.
Yeah, how did you approach this conversation, Adam? Did you just go, right, you lazy arsehole, get me a cab here now?
I just said to her, is there a chance I can get a taxi? And she said, no, we're all booked up, and then hung the phone up on me. I was like, how rude was she?
But no, so she's answered your question.
Yeah.
Probably just the phone was ringing off the hook, okay.
Probably.
So Natalie informs me that in order to counter this issue you have with public transport, you've been trying to have sex with the source. is that right?
That's partly true, yes.
Where did you meet this person?
On Grindr, yes.
Oh. Nothing wrong.
Edinburgh special. Be a little bumpy grinder. Don't see
nothing wrong. With a little bump and grinder. Mm. So it's been away for a few weeks, but Adam's back now with his grinder special.
Yep.
About the Edinburgh bus driver that he's been trying to bang.
He wasn't a bus driver, he just works for the bus company.
What is he doing? What does he do? Fucking look after their Twitter?
No, he does the tours and he organises like the tours and stuff.
Okay, nice. So you want him to like maybe show you around?
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for. But I just complained about the buses all night.
You've been doing it direct to the companies as well, to West Lothian buses as well.
Mm. I know.
Anything back?
Pardon?
Have you had anything back from them?
No, not really.
All right.
What about the leaky roof?
Oh,
yeah. Tell us about that, Adam. Tell us about the leaky roof on the bus.
That was I was sitting on the bus, it was absolutely tipping it down with rain, and then all of a sudden, like, I just started getting dripped on the bus. I got so soaked. I was getting wetter than I would have done if I walked.
Did you check the seat for anyone sitting behind you in case something untoward was going on?
Yes, I checked all around, and the woman sitting next to me, like, just looked at me, and then we both looked to the ceiling and just went, typical.
Typical. But you've been in Edinburgh for 2 weeks and that's already typical, is it? Is that happening on every bus you go on? Oh, typical. Another bus with an owl in the roof. Unless it was one of your boyfriend's buses where they just don't have a roof on it anyway. Mm.
Why don't you try and go out with a taxi driver, maybe? That would
good
be better.
Good call, yeah. Good call. Or just someone with their own car.
Oh, yeah, someone that's got a car.
That's my next venture.
All right, tell us about this bus man. So where did you meet him? We met on Grindr.
Yeah, and then we went to...
No, we don't jump to that. We don't jump to that. So you met him on Grindr. What was the conversation you had on Grindr?
I was just like, I just had a nice chat. I just told him I was here for the month and just wanted to meet up and have a drink and stuff.
What did he have to say for himself? What was his selling point? What was his calling card?
What do you mean?
I'm a bus driver.
How did he sell himself on Grindr? What was it? Was it pictures or was it?
He just seemed like a nice lad. Nice
based
looking.
On what, though?
He looks...
Pardon?
Looking, good looking, was he?
Oh yeah, he was very good looking.
Wearing his bus uniform on the picture.
No, but he wouldn't let me ride unless I had the exact change.
Yeah. Was he dressed? Was he dressed in his photo?
No, yes, he was.
Well, hang on a second. You said no first.
Yeah.
No, which one?
No, he was. He did. He was dressed.
Top and bottom.
No, in his bus uniform though.
Oh.
All right. Did he have one of them things on that gives you a ticket around his neck?
No, he didn't.
Or not around his neck, around somewhere else.
Did he have one of them on or not? Or was he like looking intently into the camera?
Was he wearing a cap? One of those bus caps?
No.
Did he
wasn't.
Have a bus cap on?
No.
Yeah. Was he stood
he had.
Was he stood right in front of all the maps that you get free on the bus, so you had to lean round him to get one?
That's right.
Was he hairy?
No.
That was the logistical next question, wasn't it? That was a logical next question from Nat there. Yeah, was he hairy?
Oh.
Was he?
No, he wasn't.
Completely bald. Completely bald,
right.
All over.
Okay, bald bust.
No, he wasn't completely bald.
So he had hair?
He had some.
Yeah, he had hair.
He was hairy then, wasn't he?
And a bit on his area.
On his hair? Whoa, how do we know this?
How do we know what?
You're an awful liar. It's like that you went, oh, he had some on his area. How do we know this? How do we know what? Like, how do we know that he had hair on his area?
Because we saw his area.
I didn't. I had nothing to do with this.
Was this how many more of you?
Was
there?
It wasn't you and Amanda, was it? Wasn't that sort of setup?
No, it wasn't.
That would have been weird. So what happened? So where did you go?
We went to met up at a bar. I can't remember the name of it now.
Lazy fucker. What's his name?
His name was.
Was.
Scott.
No, it wasn't.
Scott.
A lot of pause days.
Yeah, his name was Scott Lamb.
Scott Lamb. And was he a Scottish gentleman?
He's actually Canadian.
Oh God. Right.
Okay.
So go on, take me through it.
Non-violent,
so,
then. So you don't feel about Canadians.
Never killed anyone.
Yeah.
When did you meet him at?
It was last Wednesday.
And where?
And where? I can't remember the name of the pub.
Some pub.
Yeah, some pub.
How long were you in the pub for before you started looking at his area that was all airy?
It was probably about. We were in the pub for about 2 or 3 hours.
God.
All right, that's slow going for you. And then what was the? Who made the first move? What did you say? Just say, oh, can you go back to your place so I can check if you're airy or not?
I can't remember now because we had a few to drink. It was just like, oh, what do you want to do now? And he was like, oh, do you want to go for a little walk? And then we just ended up walking back to his house.
Yeah, that's...
So you started a walk with no idea where you were going?
Yeah.
Kind of abducted you, mate. Okay, so you went back to his house. Does he live alone?
He has a housemate.
What part of the city, please?
Pardon?
What part of the city, please?
It's just along, like, it's past the uni.
Okay.
Where, like, the Gilded Balloon and the Underbelly are.
That's TV, yeah.
A bit further. No, so it's the top end of the town.
And you'd like to
I don't know the names.
Down towards, like, Toll Cross sort of area?
I think so, yeah. I don't
past
really know
that
the area.
Past that big, massive girls' school.
Yeah.
I used to go out with a girl who went to, not, I mean, she wasn't out that girl. Right, okay. I mean, she went that girl. She went there when she was
when she was
age appropriate.
Right, okay,
yeah, but I went out with her a long time afterwards.
She was a lady.
Yeah, yeah. Although she still had the uniform. So she did. So Dan told, I tell you what, by the way, Toll Cross is one of the places where there's toilets where you can go and do gay sex, apparently. Toll Cross toilets. They're around the back of a nightclub. And there's, is it Hunter Square? Wherever wherever I lived last year.
This for men, though?
There was some, I believe so, yeah. I don't know if ladies do that in the toilets. Okay. There's some downstairs toilets there underneath the road, and apparently that's rampant for your sort. In fact, I know that, in fact, because I went in there one day, and there were about four or five men all wanking.
Hmm.
Bold as brass.
They were probably bored of waiting for cabs. They needed to pass some time, weren't they?
Yeah.
No transport here. I've got to do something.
So all I'm saying to you, Adam, is if you want to save money on drinks, there's a more direct way of doing it, but it's a bit more grimy and dirty, isn't it?
Mm. Did you sleep the night?
Yeah.
Did you sleep over?
I didn't. I did the early morning walk of shame.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. Could have been a taxi of shame if you'd sorted your ideas out.
Does he work for Lothian Buses? Just you keep tweeting them, and I'm wondering if he's connected to them, and that's why you've gone mad.
Is he not getting back in touch?
Yeah.
If you wanted him to speak to you again, and he's not, so now you're just pointing all your vitriol at the company that he works for?
No, I've been speaking to him quite a bit, and... Yeah.
Saying what?
Just saying like, oh, he's asking general questions about how my fringe is.
How your fringe is?
No, not my... Yeah, how the festival's going and whatnot.
How's your fringe? Have you managed to comb that out of it yet? All right. So what did you do? I know it's a bit early. It was not early, actually, because we've missed the first half hour of the show, so what did you do with him? Get dirty, Adam, let's hear it.
Yeah, well... God, you really want me to get... Okay, well, I'm about to go.
Where are you now? Where are you situated right now?
I'm sitting at the back of the venue editing the podcast.
What venue is it?
The Ermentrude Room in the Med Quad.
All right, is there many people around you?
Yeah, they're setting up for the next show, which is a children's show.
Brilliant. Can you go a bit closer than where you tell me?
No,
can
I'm
you,
not.
Actually, can you nonchalantly walk around on your phone talking about gay sex? Do it nonchalant, so without any shame. You know, you shouldn't be ashamed of it, so do that. Have a little wander and tell us about what you actually did with the man.
No, I can't do that.
Do you want sacking? Do it now. It's your job on this show. Do it now. If you've not put yourself in a situation where you can tell us about the gay sex you've been having, then you've not fulfilled your contract.
Can he not use codes? It's like,
no, he can't.
Kids
no,
TV
no
characters.
This isn't round the horn. You've got to wander about...
It's a bit round the horn.
You've got to wander about and tell us the dirty things you did with Mr. Harry.
Yeah, Mr. Harry.
Mr. Harry, the bus driver.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you want to know first?
Everything.
Hmm. Well, we went back to his and then we just, you know, started to do a bit of a kissing and...
Bit of kissing, right. With tongues as well?
Of course.
With the tongues.
Who kissed who first? Who moved forward first?
Oh, he did.
Mr. Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Forward.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then stuff
what?
Started happening. And
what stuff happened?
Came off.
Who's top? Who's top?
My top.
Did he pull your top off?
Yeah.
Say that out loud. He pulled my top off.
No, I don't want to say
it. Say it. You can't do it.
No, I don't want to say it. I'm not saying it.
He's got a bit of authority.
He wants slapping down a little bit. All right, so he pulled your top off. Then what did he do? Did he lick your nipples?
Yep.
Did he? Do you like that? Are you into that?
Mm.
I kind of like it. What you're into? What are you into with that?
What do you mean?
What do you like them to do?
We've been through all this before.
We have been through this all before, but not when there's a children's theatre company around the place. I want to hear about it now.
We want to know what Canadians like, so we have never done it with a Canadian man before. They might do different.
Where did he lick you, Adam?
There's children around. I want to get arrested.
Where do children come from? All right.
They asked me to leave. They just asked me to leave the venue.
Not surprised.
And never come back.
Rampant Scottish homophobia, that is, Adam. You should complain to the venue.
It's lazy arseholes.
Right, come on. Now that you're free to tell us what went on.
So we did that, and then it was kissing and nipples and...
Kissing and nipples, yeah.
And then, you know, the bottoms came off, and then we had sex.
You had sort of full sexual intercourse?
Yeah.
Whoa. So you were the postman, because I believe you're not up for being let out.
Yeah.
The postman.
No.
How was he about that? Did you just know, or did you have to explain that beforehand?
I think it was just he knew.
Yeah.
He knew.
Yeah.
He knew.
You can tell, can't you?
Yeah.
Did he give you a travel card?
Did he give you a quick travel card? Did he?
Was it a one way?
Did he mess about with your oyster?
It was a day bus pass.
A day.
That's all right. That's not bad going, mate. For your first time with him. Yeah. So you have full sex. So what? Condoms, I presume.
Obviously.
No, I'm just checking. Do you carry condoms?
If I know that I'm going to have sex, then yeah.
And that should be all the time with you. What condoms do you use? What brand?
I don't know. I can't remember the name of it.
Do you mean you don't know?
The Dulux one.
Dulux. That's paint that, mate.
Yep, the Dulux one. I don't think they're very safe.
They're not very safe at all, but although they are self-lubing. I used to have to use condoms many years ago. I used Durex Avante. They were very expensive, but they were polyurethane. They weren't actually latex. I'm allergic to latex.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
They're good, though, man. They're good, like, proper, like... About as close as you can get.
Yeah.
But
maybe get some of them. I think they are safe for bum sex as well, because I think they're pretty strong.
But
I
you said that you were going to be Stephen Bailey's husband or wife. You
sort of
agreed that.
Bailey's up there, isn't
Bailey's
he?
There, and they've been each other.
Yeah, me and Amanda are going to go
see Stephen
a little
Bailey
bit later.
Bailey while you've been there?
I've seen him twice.
No, have you bummed him, here. I said.
We haven't bummed.
Well, bummed is all right to say out loud, just the other
That's
stuff.
A shame that you haven't bummed Stephen Bailey while you've been in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Well, he's been too busy gallivanting around and flirting with other people, trying to make me jealous.
Oh, really? Do you think he's been bumming other people?
He's been trying to.
I don't know. That's not for me to say.
Would you be able to find out for us within the next 2 hours? Could you go and find Stephen Bailey and find out if he's bummed anyone in Edinburgh and then get back
to
us?
Well, when I go see his show, I'll ask him.
But that's not till 4:15, is it?
We'll be off
four,
air by,
so
now, by
no
then, mate. We'll be done by then, mate. We need to know before that.
Oh.
Can you go and contact
him? Okay, send him a text.
We'll let you go now. Thank you for your dirty story. We'll let you go. Go and text Bailey, then call us back.
All right, have a good show.
The question is to him, though, have you bummed anyone while you've been in Edinburgh? And also, by the way, don't tell him it's for the show. Just literally send him a text now saying, hey, Stephen, have you bummed anyone while you've been in Edinburgh? Or being bummed. I don't know what the correct phraseology is.
Okay.
Promise?
All right.
Well, no, if you're not. Thank you, Adam.
Bye.
Bye-bye, mate.
Something to hold that's big.
Welcome back. Jackie Wilson, Reach Petite. A bit of trivia.
Yeah, go on.
That was the song that prevented the House Martins from being Christmas number one.
Right.
With Caravan of Love.
Oh.
They were number one the week before. I think they might have been number two the week before, and they were due to be number one. And then they released Jackie Wilson's re-released Reet Petite.
What does Reet Petite mean? Do you know?
And really small. Right small, I think.
Oh,
I think.
He's not from, I want to say Norway, but I mean Newcastle.
No, he's not. He's from Yorkshire, Jackie Wilson.
Was he?
Yeah, Barnsley.
Oh. Do they say Reet there?
Petite.
Or Reet?
Oh, she's Reet Petite, that. If you ever get Jackie Wilson on the show, right, you'll be surprised when he starts talking. Did you just moan? What was that?
Isn't he no longer with us? That's what happens when I say Jackie Wilson. It's like a trigger.
Right,
I get really excited.
And because we're talking about a long dead soul singer, that made you horny.
I can't explain it.
Oh,
when the horn
Wilson
comes,
dead.
The horn comes.
Jackie Wilson died. Oh, God. That's as good an intro as any for Danny Postal. You there, Danny?
How are you, mate?
How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Well, I'm tired today. I'm very rarely tired on this show. But today I had to do a news thing this morning that was very early.
I'll try not to speak too loud then for you.
You can speak. I don't mind you speaking loud, man. I'll try, but I've got to speak loud for you, aren't I? Because you're deaf. I'm just saying, Danny, you're deaf.
He's just gone.
Or maybe he's doing a Jackie Wilson impression. Is that right? Aren't you deaf in one ear? Is that right?
I'm deaf in one ear, mate. Yeah, yeah. In fact, that's the reason I had 200 driving lessons, because my driving instructor was deaf in his right ear.
Now, is
and that,
that,
that is, a, is a true story.
Is that genuinely true? Is it really?
That is genuinely true, mate, yeah.
Fucking amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And you're both going home to your families after lessons going, it's pretty rude, this bloke.
Yeah.
doesn't really take me on at all, you know.
70 lessons to get me 3.10, you know what I mean?
Amazing. Have you passed your driving test now?
Yeah, but I've got another 3 points coming up, so I'm going to be banned. It's not good on the driving front, mate, to be fair.
This isn't the exclusive we wanted. Are you going to be banned? Have you gone over? Are you gone over your points?
Yeah, I have. Well, what it is, I've got another 3 points. I need to send it off, but I'm stalling it as best I can.
Right.
And then, then I'll have to get on trainline.com to book...
Maybe just say that on the radio. Maybe just admit on the radio that you're stalling with your points on your car. Maybe yeah, just tell us how you've not told your insurance company yet and all that, because keep it cheaper. It's dropping out a lot, isn't it?
Danny?
And then, are you there? You're dropping
and
out,
then I
loads.
I need to get a court date.
Oh. What, court date? That's what?
That's what, yeah, that's the only bit we heard then was court date.
Hello?
Hello.
Sorry, I thought you were breaking up a bit.
No, we actually are. Do you know, is there another phone we can call you on?
No, I'm going to be stopping in a minute.
Are you driving now?
No, I'm not driving. No, no.
I'm not getting you more points.
Definitely have a court date.
We won't be long before we stop.
All right. Should we give you a shout back in about 10 minutes?
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Will you be stopped then?
Yeah.
All right. Make sure you're on.
Yeah.
And tell your driver that he's not allowed to go until you've done this interview.
No.
Thanks, Ray. Bye.
All right, man. Part one. That's part one of our how many part interviews should we do? Seven?
With Danny?
Let's go seven.
Probably seven. Let's start easy with Danny.
With our seven part interview with Danny Postill.
Yeah.
Didn't even explain who he was.
It's, yes.
He's a comedian impressionist. He was on the Britain's Got Talent.
The dog one.
He's not the dog.
No, he wasn't the dog, no.
I worked with him recently, Danny. He's a nice lad.
Yeah.
I worked with him somewhere in England. I can't remember where it was.
Nearly missed the final because he had a crippling migraine.
I've not got me.
There we go.
He had a crippling migraine.
Nearly couldn't make the final.
I think it was because they tried to phone him to tell him when the final was. And I think Simon Cowell, is he on that? Simon Cowell's
on
that one.
Yeah, I think so.
He was trying to phone Danny and just going, okay, Danny, the final's in 20 minutes at the London Palladium. And Danny went, and Simon went, you got that, Danny? And Danny went, what date? And Simon Cowell thought that sounded like, yes, mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's why...
And then he went, oh, I've got a migraine.
As we've not got Danny yet, let's do our own Danny Postal interview. You'd be Danny Postal.
Okay.
You'd be Danny Postal. Put them down now.
No,
you'd be
I'm
Danny
just thinking of what impressions I'm supposed to do.
I'll tell you the impressions you've got to do. So I'm joined here now by... if you watch Britain's Got Talent, you'll know this man with his massive hands. And big lobby ears. We've got Britain's Got Talent, but Danny Postal here on the show. Hi, Danny.
Court date.
No, you got to do it properly this one.
Okay.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Ori.
No, you don't have to do a voice.
Oh,
but actually,
okay.
No, actually, yes, you do.
All right.
You do
Stop
have
it!
To. You
Why
do have to do,
do
a
that?
Voice. That's right. So, Danny, how's life been for you since Britain's Got Talent finished?
I don't know where it's from. All right then.
No, that was.
Where's he from? I don't know where he's from.
It's from Barnsley.
I don't even know what that accent is.
What accents can you do?
None, as I think you've noticed.
Could you do Liverpool?
No.
Could you have a go at it?
Liverpool.
Right, that's fine. He's from Liverpool. So it's Liverpool's Danny Postill here. Danny, how is it in Liverpool at the moment? I know there's a lot of grief going on about Silla. Yeah, go on. Say what you were going to say.
How is it? I thought you meant the weather. I was going to get proper raining, but
it is raining tears.
Raining tears of Scylla.
Do the voice.
Surprise, surprise.
Not Scylla Black's voice. Do a Scouse voice.
I don't know what to say. PJ and Duncan.
What?
Is that
PJ and Duncan? That's not Liverpool.
It's Newcastle. Well, I can only do certain words in certain.
Fine.
Spooky.
Start this fucking again. Right.
I know, that was my impression of Jeff
Biker
from Biker
Grove. I understood
so
it.
So that's already
it.
On point for Danny Postal. So that was good.
I didn't ask you to do that impression though, Danny.
Yeah, but I'm just off the cuff because I'm an impressionist.
Right.
My life is an impression of...
Who else do you do, Danny? What other impressions do you do? Do your Biker Grove one again.
Spooky. PJ Dungan.
Yep, that's good. And can you do any politicians? Could you do Margaret Thatcher? It's quite famous.
The lady is not for turning.
That's good. Tommy Cooper?
How's about that then? Was that him?
How's about that then?
Was that him?
No.
Who was that? did that?
How's about that? That is Jimmy Savile.
But, was it? No, it
was.
It
was.
Was it?
Oh, how's about that then? I actually did an impression of Tommy Cooper, and you immediately went into Jimmy Savile.
What did he do?
Jimmy Savile fucked kids.
No! I'm trying to think of what Johnny Cooper.
Just like
Tommy
that.
Cooper.
Johnny Cooper.
Just
yeah.
that. Just
yeah.
like that then.
Yeah, no, but don't do it in Jimmy Savile's voice. Oh, just like that then. You don't want to think of Jimmy Savile saying, oh, just like that.
He said that at some point, though,
didn't
he?
Well, I don't even want to think about it now.
Okay, anyway, next. So
okay.
Done.
What other impressions can you... What the famous, Frank Spencer's a famous one. Can you do Frank Spencer?
Ooh, Betty.
Pardon?
Ooh, Betty.
I thought she was coming on this show.
Oh, yeah, I just had an email about that. We've on the list to come on the
Michelle
show.
Dutrice.
Michelle Dutrice.
Yeah.
So.
I've got a picture of Michelle Dutrice on my wall at home.
Okay. Signed?
No, it's not signed. It's an old Les Dawson pantomime that she was in with him.
Oh, right, okay.
So there you go. Tell her that. Say that he's got a picture of you on his wall. That might put her off, actually, might it? Okay, what other impressions can you do?
Victoria, don't do that, love.
I don't know that one.
That was David Beckham. He does that. I do that. I do David Beckham.
Do it again.
Oh, posh Victoria, don't do that, love.
Right, now, it's Essex. Now that's do her Essex talking accent. Back to him.
What did she say?
Betty. Betty, how was about that then?
I'm not hungry for lunch, that's what she'll say.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That wasn't too bad.
That was
possibly the nearest you've got so far.
Yeah.
What other famous people? Can you tweet us, please, at Food Bar Radio, and let us know what impressions you want Nat to. What you not Nat, Danny Postel,
Danny,
he's in the
Danny,
studio now.
Yeah, Danny.
What impressions would you like Danny Postel to do for you on the show? Don't tag in Danny Postel, the real one, because he might see that and think that we are doing this the show, that we're going to try and get him to do impressions. He'll do them. I promise you'll do them anyway. But. It'd be funnier to get Nat to do them.
Okay. I've appeared as Buttons in Cinderella in Northampton.
Yeah.
So it's behind you.
Do you know what's weird about that? This is no disrespect to Danny, but I believe you. If you'd have said that Nat's actually appeared as Buttons, I'd be like, well, whatever.
Also played a dame at the Stockport and in Middlesbrough Theatre.
I believe that Danny's a very good dame in pantomime.
Yeah.
I chatted to him about that when we did the gig together the other week.
Can
you do Simon Cowell? Can you do a Simon Cowell impression?
I'm very unimpressed. Sunita,
right, yeah. Okay. Who else?
Do an impression of Sunita.
Who else are you meant to do? Who's he meant to do? I've got it
Michael
in there.
Michael McIntyre. I've got no idea how to do Michael McIntyre.
Go on then.
I've
got it.
Well, it's just things, isn't it?
It's just things.
I don't know what to do for him.
Jimmy Carr?
I don't know what he sounds like.
Betty. Alan Carr?
Actually, I don't know. Chatty Man. But I don't know.
Chatty
don't know.
Man.
That's the name of his show, isn't it?
I know, but I don't think he just walks around saying the name of his show to people.
Oh, Chatty Man. How about a drink then, love? That's what he talks like on his show, isn't he?
Oh, that's a fucking good one.
Is this just Will?
Can you do Nelson Mandela?
No, I cannot.
Why? That's all right. I've got it. It's like Chris Eubank.
Is it? The list.
Similar,
He hasn't got a list, has he, Nelson Mandela?
No, he's died now, but please don't make light of it.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm sorry.
Give Chris Eubank a crack.
I will fight you in the thring.
I don't think people with lisps have a problem with R.
Jonathan Ross does.
Yeah, he says W's instead of R's. I don't think anyone with a lisp says F instead of R. Can you do Anton Deck?
PJ and Dongan. That's what they call their characters.
I've already done that one, haven't you?
I've seen one for Frankie Howard that's coming from Lee.
Right, Frankie Howard, let's go, Frankie Howard.
Oh, matron.
No, that's
Mrs.
Frankie Howard.
Oh, no. Mrs.
Yeah.
Does he do that? Oh, yeah. Mrs.
There we go.
How about that then?
Who was that for?
That was for Lee, a special
there
one,
go,
bespoke
Lee.
One for
dedication
you.
Dedication there for you from Danny Postel in the studio. Just did Frankie Howard for you. With a slight touch of Carry On to it. Although Frankie Howard did do some Carry On films.
Yeah, he did, exactly.
A couple. Okay, Paddy McGuinness.
Where's he from?
These are quick fire ones.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the PK voice, and I can't remember where it's from.
Amazing. That's all we need. That is amazing. Do Paddy McGuinness. Oh, hang on. I'm trying to think of Peter Kay's voice.
You're right.
You're absolutely right. It was an incredible insult.
No likey, no lighty.
Oh, fucking.
Isn't that what he says on that show?
Keith Lemon.
I don't watch it. Keith Lemon. I don't even know Keith Lemon's. I don't like Keith Lemon.
That was posh. I don't like Keith Lemon.
Not a fan of the Lemon.
Johnny Vegas.
I don't know. What does he do? What does he say? I know what he does. I just think, what is his sort of things that he would say?
Would sell tea.
Oh, yeah. All right, monkey.
That's that. Lee Evans.
Do the visual one.
Bounce about more. Bounce about more.
Sweaty. I'm running up and down stage.
That was more for me than anyone else.
That's a visual one. Yeah, that's quite visual.
Dara Breen. It's spelled wrong on his press release. God.
I can't do an Irish accent.
Try it.
I just can't.
Try it.
To be sure. Mark the week.
Well,
and that's Northern Ireland, I think.
Danny, that was a thank you for that lovely interview. I very much enjoyed that.
I think you've seen how I can demonstrate that I can pretty much do any impression of anybody.
Ironically, your best one was Jimmy Savile.
even though you didn't know you were doing Jimmy Savile,
that was the best one. Amazing. I'm going to put another song on until we get Danny back on the phone. Maybe I'll get him to teach you how to do it. Just pause that for a second. Apologies to Elvis Presley. Now we've got some impressions coming in for you to do. Jackie Chan, please. That's from Connor.
Jackie Chan. No one's asked for Jackie Chan.
Connor Wallace. I said Jackie Chan, please.
Hiya.
There you go, Connor. Jackie Chan. Another one's come in. Max has said he'd like John Rhys Davies.
I don't know. Who's that?
Wasn't a great one, was it? You'll never be the same again. Ben Baker, your pal, has asked for Idi Amin.
Oh my god, I don't know. There's it.
If we're Jacques Tati.
Jacques Salou?
I don't know, this is Jacques Tati. I don't know. It's probably a joke, but I don't get
it. Oui, oui. It's French. Jacques Tati, there we go. This one's done. Just do a French one, isn't
it? Sorry, Nat's just volunteered that she could do Zippy from Rainbow.
No, Lee's coming again and Zippy from Rainbow.
Oh, it's not going to do it to me. It's going to be on Fubo.
Oh, Bongo! Jeffrey, no! That was spot on.
Yeah, Connor's also asked for one of Duncan, who owns Fubo, please, Nat. Do an impression of Duncan.
I'm trying to think, what's a key phrase that he... He's Scouser, isn't he, so... Jimmy... Well,
Duncan does that famous phrase, doesn't Jimmy he? Sometimes Scalzel. When he answers the phone, he goes, oh, sorry, he no here. Puts the phone down.
That's Duncan, isn't it? Sometimes.
Welcome back to the show. Have we got Danny yet? Is Danny all right? Dorman. I don't know how long we've actually been before we last spoke to him.
Have you called him back? Yeah.
Let's give him a crack.
If Jacques Tati. I also saw one...
Who is Jacques Tati?
No idea. Who else did I say? Oh, no, it's fine. Oh, I saw one from Alan... Who's asked, can we please have an impression of Ramesh Ranganathan?
Go for it.
Now, I can't...
No, don't explain it. Just do it.
Oh, do you know what?
Don't explain it. Just do your impression of Ramesh.
Oh, I'm from Crawley. I've got the same accent because we're both from Surrey. So I speak exactly like Ramesh.
That's not what Ramesh is known for.
Like, obviously, you have a button here, which is the Ramesh button.
This is Ramesh.
I've heard that so often.
Ramesh.
Thank you very much, Peacock.
Now, that is Ramesh.
I've heard that so often. I could do that. No, not when... He can't hear me saying that, and then he'll put the phone down again.
You're not okay.
Thank you very much, Ray Peacock.
No, that's not it. Listen how he does it.
Thank you very much, Ray Peacock.
Put more effort into it.
Thank you very much, Ray Peacock.
Thank you very much, Ray Peacock.
Yeah, that's it. Spot on. That's fine. Let's do it. Can we do it in sync?
Thank you very much, Ray Peacock.
Danny there?
I'm here now, mate. I'm static.
That's all right, mate. Do you know what? So are we. So what we did while you were in transit was Natalie basically took over your interview. So I interviewed Nat, my producer Nat, who's in the studio. I interviewed her as if she was you.
And we All right.
Well, she did us some impressions. They were like, I'm going to get her to do some of them for you.
No, Danny, they're not good.
Brilliant. Come on, I want to hear them.
Genuinely incredible.
The problem is, I just don't want to get jealous.
Don't worry about that.
Her Tommy Cooper was one of the most offensive things you've ever heard in your entire life.
Okay.
Because do your Tommy Cooper. No, Danny, I'm not going to tell Danny what happened. Do the Tommy Cooper you did. Don't explain it.
All right.
Do the Tommy Cooper you did before. You ready? Here's Nat's Tommy Cooper.
How's about that then?
Right. That's Tommy Cooper. Apparently that.
I thought it was a. I'm sure I've seen her that voice in a play. Actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Same.
What she done there?
I saw it in a play as well with Alistair McGowan.
I
saw that play.
I thought you meant Les Miserables. I was like, thanks very much.
No, it wasn't. And when she did it, she didn't even realise what she'd done.
Right.
Have you got any? Are there anything she can? She's pretty poor at impressions. Mm. Like she's not great at it at all. I'm very good at it, but I just choose to keep it secret.
But
do you have any tips for picking up people's voices or mannerisms and stuff for Nat?
There is, do you know what? Dara O'Brien's quite easy to do.
Okay.
Because basically you've got to give the Irish accent in there. And obviously what Dara does quite a lot is quite a lot. So that's quite easy to do as Dara, you know.
Danny,
so
can
if
I
you just do the like that.
Can I just get Nat?
Quite easy to do.
Nat actually did Dara during the break. I'm going to let you let Nat do it for you now. Don't explain it, Nat. Okay. Just do your Dara.
To be sure, mock the week.
That was Nat's Dara that she tried.
That's just the only Irish
That was very good. To be sure, mock the week. I can imagine him opening with that.
Mate,
mock the week.
Don't worry about it. This isn't Radio 1, so you don't have to patronise her. Just tell her it was fucking awful.
Hey!
Oh, are you allowed to swear? Brilliant.
Yeah, go for it. Knock yourself out, man.
Nice one.
Okay, so now Danny's give you that post, that little tip there.
For Dara, yep. I just have to go, that's it. That's what you said. I can do that.
To be sure.
To be sure, mark the week.
And then do an air at the end, that's and then we'll polish it off.
Oh, mark the week,
it's getting there.
It's getting there, isn't it? But you know what?
Tiring.
I'm still not sure we have enough time on the show to actually get to the destination on that one.
It's quite tiring.
Yeah, I'm just being very polite, to be honest, mate.
Don't.
Danny, do you get tired? Because I'm exhausted.
She gets tired.
I'm just,
I'm just full of encouragement for everyone.
But it's hard trying to pretend to be somebody else.
No, but Danny, Nat asked you a very important interview question then. Do you get tired?
I'm exhausted.
Danny, do you ever get tired?
Savile's taking amazing. It out of me.
Imagine Parkinson opening with that. So, Billy Connolly, do you get tired?
He's asked that. He's definitely asked somebody that.
But that serious question though, Danny, do you get tired?
Do I get tired?
Yeah.
Regularly, to be fair.
In your life, you get tired.
I'm just sick of them white lines. I don't mean cocaine, I mean them lines on the motorway.
Yeah. Same, man, same.
At night time or during the day?
Again, a very important question from Nat. Could you please explain what time of day? What time of day are you tired of the white lights? Mate, I'm surrendering this interview. I'm going to let Nat do it. Nat, carry on asking him questions. I'll join in, but ask Danny some more questions.
Okay. Do you do ladies?
Do I do ladies?
Yeah.
Was that a question about my sexuality or impressions?
Oh, no, impressions, but either works, whichever one you want to answer.
Sarah Milligan, do you want to be sitting there to do her? She's quite nice, she's busy, but her voice but a bit higher pitch.
And who's that? Who's that you're doing?
She's got a little mouse inside of her, doesn't she, really?
Yeah.
She's got inside of her, you can mind your own fucking business.
Have you met Sarah?
I've never met her, no. Do you know what? I was doing a gig, actually, with Gary Delaney.
Okay.
And I was doing an impression of Sarah. Saying about she likes cakes and this, that and the other, and didn't realise that he was married to her.
Right, okay.
And I came off and I was like, I'm so sorry, mate, I didn't really. And he was lovely. He said, no, mate, he said, business is business. And then Gary walked on and he said, it's nice to be on the bill with someone who takes the piss out of my wife.
Nice.
However, he said, some couples actually get off on another man doing their wife. So I thought that was clever. And he said, I was sat there for 5 minutes thinking of that opener. But yeah, he's very clever. He's a great comic.
He's like a machine, man. He's proper like a computer, Gary. He's ace. He's an ace writer. I've known him for a long time, Gary, and he's kind of a law unto himself, really. But forgive me, this isn't my answer. Nat's got another question for you.
All
right, here we go.
So, other ladies that you do? Do you do any others?
What was that? Yeah, she's not happy with that one, mate.
Thank you for doing Sarah.
No, thanks for doing Sarah, but she's not happy with that one. Can you do another lady, please?
Can you do a Southern Belle?
I've sort of been working on Miranda.
Oh, okay. How's that going?
But I find it quite difficult to do Miranda. She's just sort of like, hello. That's the only thing
I can
get
in there, man.
Miranda.
Let's get in there.
Yeah,
you know. But, like I say, sometimes what I tend to do is the beauty of nowadays, you've got YouTube. So if I want to learn somebody new, I can just go on YouTube, sort of pick up the mannerisms and the voice and then record it, then listen to it back, and then just constantly do that until I've got it right, you know. But obviously I haven't had enough time to work on Miranda,
if in doubt, mate, just do Savile. That's what we've learned today. if in doubt, and you know, just disarm someone who's you know, demanding
is
impression
that, is,
to you.
Is that your advice?
Just
on that?
Do Savile. Just do Savile, mate.
Jingle Jangle as well?
I'll try and do Connie Cooper and then end up doing Savile.
Sorry, Nat just had a question there where she said, is he Jingle Jangle as well? Savile?
Yeah, or Cooper. Could this be a new quiz? Is it Savile or Cooper?
It could be a regular feature, Savile or Cooper.
That could be, yeah, that's a good idea.
It's not, Danny, don't encourage her.
Who's Jingle Jangle?
I'll just be nice again,
like Jangle
sorry.
Jewelry Jewelry, that's Savile, that's going to be Savile.
My next question for you, Danny, is do you have a problem with bras?
Good question.
Do I have a problem with bras?
Yes.
Not really.
Well,
I've had problems taking them off in the past.
Right.
I'm dead good at it. I can do it one-handed.
Not on me, I mean off other girls, you know.
So, but...
I can do it one-handed.
Can you?
Do you want me to undo your bra one-handed?
So I don't really want my bra unhooked.
No, you can refasten it.
I can't. I've got to take everything off and do it around the front.
Come on, let me undo your bra one-handed.
I don't want my bra undone.
Let me undo your bra one-handed.
I don't want my bra
undone. This isn't sexual harassment. It's a feature for the show.
It's not a party, please.
Let me undo your bra
one-handed. It's funny because we were mentioning Savile earlier on and I would come to this.
Yeah, true.
Mate, she'd never be mistook for a child.
No, thank God. Yeah, that's good.
Go on.
What was your remark? What did you say about Amanda Holden not wearing a bra?
Basically, I just said because I was doing Sarah Millican again. Sorry, I've got to do the impression again for you. And then I said sometimes I don't wear a bra, a bit like Amanda tonight. And then she sort of reacted. And then I said, by the way, pet the truth to point because every single show she had you could see her nipples. Oh. You know,
now she must know that, Amanda, mustn't she, when she leaves the house?
I think she was loving it. But you know what? I wasn't going to do the joke, but the producer was like, oh, do the thing about Root to Point,
And
I was like,
no,
I said, I'm not really keen because I could lose the audience, you know what I mean? But then I think she sort of knew what was coming because she likes the attention.
When
you
say the nipples, I mean, they were clothed, they were just erect, yeah? They weren't out.
They were just pointing out there.
Right, and
best interview ever. When you say the nipples, were they erect?
Amanda Holden's nipples. Yeah, I'm loving it.
I can't stand Amanda Holden.
Can you not?
No, I really, really don't like her at all. It's one of the people who I regularly meet people that I don't like and then love them. I'm like, oh, I got them so wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you dislike someone on TV and that. And then you meet them and work with them, and you're like, oh, I was so wrong about that person. Eamon Holmes is a good case in point.
What do you like?
Because I wasn't a fan of Eamon Holmes until I worked with him, and I work with him regular now, and like one of the funniest fuckers you'll ever meet. And you're like, he's like a
he's
real
lovely.
Get him to do Eamon. Do you do Eamon, Danny?
I can't quite get Eamon, but I remember he come up to me after the semi final,
right?
And,
okay.
Sort of congratulating me, saying how well I done. And then he started having a go at John Coleshaw, because, I mean, John Coleshaw does do a very good impression of him, but Coleshaw was getting a bit personal about him being overweight.
Yeah, so, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that thing. Yeah, he did it.
Eamon come up to me, and he said, he's a nervous man, so he is. He's a nervous man about John Coleshaw. And he's pointing at me going, he's a nervous man, so he is, right? And then Ruth came over, because she thought that Eamon was having a go at me.
Right.
And she was like, is everything all right? And then Eamon just turned around to Ruth and went, that John Coleshaw's a nervous man, so he is, he's a nervous man. He was just put
Ruth
a whiskey, just shouting out, he's a nervous man, so
that's
he is.
That's a really good impression.
Nervous man.
Nat, would Nat see your Eamon Holmes?
He's a nervous man.
To be sure, to be sure.
To be sure, jingle jangle. What about this dog then, Danny?
Fuck me. What sort of question is that? What about this dog then? Yeah, Danny, what about this dog then?
What about this dog? Oh, yeah, because there was a lot of controversy about the dog, wasn't there? You know,
What is a dog? The dog won it.
What happened? So there was a set. So the dog won, but there was a second dog.
I think she might genuinely be pissed. She just shouted to Mike, what happened with the dog?
But there was a second dog, wasn't there, or something?
I think there were two dogs anyway.
I've
seen two dogs.
What it was with their Jules is like she won for a dog training, really. But then I don't know whatever the public say, I don't know. But what I've seen of her talent was she was a very good dog trainer.
Yeah.
So you know that was her talent. So I couldn't see any cheating going on.
Do you think Britain's Got Talent is getting to the point where like in like 5 years' time there should be someone on there like cutting meat?
Probably, yeah. Right, going,
this is my
this
is my talent. This is what I can do.
Yeah,
or somebody sits down and does a painting.
It is more of a reality show now. I mean, I was apprehensive about doing it because I was thinking, well, you know, will it do my career any good? And to be fair, it has done.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you get to work with me now.
There is an element of it where they can tie you with that Britain's Got Talent brush and they don't take you seriously, you know.
Why?
And that was the only thing.
At what stage do you let it go as a thing? Because I know when we worked together recently that, you know, you mentioned it on stage and stuff. And at what stage do you think? Because I think there's got to be a point, and it's going to have to be quite a specific point as well. When I would imagine you'll know yourself when it's like, let that go. Don't talk about that. Just do your shit. And if someone shouts something out, fine. But when I drove away from that gig after, which you know, and I very much enjoyed working with you and you know watching you do your stuff and that, and it's a huge skill that you have. But I drove away from it. I thought about you for ages on the drive home, about whether or not. It actually surprised me a little bit. This isn't a criticism, by the way. It's just my thoughts on what I saw. As it surprised me a little bit that you did mention Britain's Got Talent. I second guessed it and thought you'd go out there and not mention it at all. That you'd get on with it. And if somebody shouted something, you'd deal with it there and then. I was surprised at how upfront you were about actually dealing with that show.
Yeah, because I thought, well, people have seen me on it, you know what I mean? It's supposed to be like the elephant in the room type thing, the I've been on it.
Yeah.
And I think people half expect me to mention it.
Okay.
Mm. You know, and I think the story I told was about, because what it is, it can get to your head a little bit, you know, I was sort of on a high, because it was just before the semi-final, and I mean, I was shitting myself, because I thought, I've got to perform in front of the horriblest bastard in show business, the most horrible man in show business, Simon Cowell, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I said to the security man, I said, oh, can I go over the road and have a couple of beers? And he says, yeah, no worries. So I've walked into this pub and it was absolutely packed. And then the whole pub just went silent when I walked in and everyone looked over and I was like, oh, I've been recognised. I was on a bit of a buzz, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I've ordered me beer and these two women are sort of looking over and they're talking and looking over and talking. So this woman comes up and she went, excuse me. I said, hey, darling, you all right? She said, this is a private party. Could you please leave?
Yeah.
I thought, he's me getting all on a high.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Just thinking of the film, and then she's just telling me to leave the pub because I was a trespasser, you know. But and I actually thought that was going to be the audience for the show as well.
So oh, right. Oh, fuck. Yeah. So how did you actually do the show? Where did you end up in it?
I came seventh in the final.
Well, that dog should have been discounted. You would have come sixth.
Sorry, Nat's still fixating on a dog.
Because I don't understand what the problem is. Like, why have 1,000 people complained to ITV about a different dog?
Why are you asking it? They're not complaining about him. Why,
that's true.
Why are you asking him to deal with somebody else's complaint?
A nice dog. Was it at least a nice dog?
Fuck me.
That isn't my question, though.
Yeah, that's the final question of the interview, by the way. No. Was it a nice dog?
I've got a new question.
Oh, was it a nice dog? To be fair, I didn't meet any of her dogs.
Chase.
But I did meet Jules, and she was quite nice. The one bloke I didn't like on the show,
Amanda Alden.
Was that French guy who had the dog.
I don't know who this is.
He was very rude. He just wouldn't speak to anybody. He thought he was better than what he was.
This is the man or the dog.
Don't get me wrong, very good act.
Yeah.
Apparently the dog was shaking as well.
Oh.
when he was doing the song. So, but no, that's the only person. But everybody else was just lovely and I had a great time.
What I'm enjoying about Nat's questions is she's asking you questions and then just not listening to your answers.
No, I am listening.
She's asking you questions and then while you're answering, she's just looking at stuff and thinking of another question.
Because I thought of one.
All right, okay. All right, she's not getting anything from the questions that she's
asking. No, I am.
Moving on to a different
I'm
one.
Getting a lot.
Danny, I'm fucking loving it.
I'm getting a lot.
But Nat, apparently she's got another question. Sorry about this, Danny. We won't keep you from...
All right, okay.
Another, 30 seconds a minute tops. Go
new
on.
Question.
Here we go.
Do you do any impressions of impressionists?
Any impressions of impressionists?
Or any of you do that? Can you do an impression of an impressionist?
No, I can't. I've tried learning Alistair McGowan for next time I speak to him, but then I can't get him. But then I wonder if Alistair can do me. But then John Coleshaw's got quite a unique way of speaking.
He says Boddington.
I think he's from like Yorkshire or somewhere like that, you know. He's got this sort of thing where he talks a bit like deep, you know.
That's a good Coleshaw.
That's good, yeah.
Is that a good Coleshaw?
That is
well,
a good Coleshaw.
The first time I've tried at race or...
What about...
This was the testing ground.
Okay, can you do Russ Abbott?
Fucking hell. Russ Abbott's not even an impressionist.
Isn't he?
No.
Wee Jimmy, that's an impression.
What, an impression of what? What's an impression of? Who's that an impression of?
Adam's bus driver day. I don't know.
It's just an impression of a Scottish man.
Yeah.
You can't go on stage and go, right, here's some of my impressions. First one, a Scottish man.
Well, that's an impression, isn't it? Why can't you?
Yeah, can you do an impression of Russ Abbott?
To be fair, I haven't seen Russ Abbott for that long. Right. I don't really know. He does a lot of characters anyway.
Right, well, that's the end, Danny, is the end of the interview.
Oh.
Because you can't
right.
expect to come onto my radio show when Nat's prepared all these questions for you and not even be able to do it. If you can't even do an impression of Russ Abbott, mate, then you're in the wrong fucking business. All right? All right? That should be, straight off the bat, you should be able to do Russ Abbott, mate. So that's like going, oh, no, I can't do Frank Spencer. If you can't do Russ Abbott, mate.
Textbook.
Just get out of the business, mate. Go and learn.
I feel like you need to put a donkey jacket on and a cigar and say, piss me off again, son. You're
never working
fucking business again.
Yeah, totally.
I'll accept Bella Emberg.
What do you mean, accept Bella Emberg?
If you can't do Abbott.
Honestly, I'm sorry, Danny, about
this.
You
remember Bella Emberg?
Yeah, no, and I know who she is. I just don't understand why you're just shouting her name.
Because I'd quite like to hear.
I get told to be current, you see. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Who's the current Bella Emberg, would you say?
Who's the current Bella Emberg?
The new Bella Emberg.
Weirdly, Nat, I think it's you. Bizarrely, I think you're about as close as possible to Bella Emberg at the moment.
What a lovely thing to say.
In that you're the sort of sidekick to the main talent.
Yeah.
And occasionally you just get on people's sets a bit.
Did she do that? Did Bella do that?
No, not at all. Not at all. That was a completely unfair joke because she was lovely, Bella.
Yeah, she's lovely.
I tell you what, though, speaking of people, you know when you said you'd gone like Amanda Hall?
Yeah. I've worked with her and I still found her a bit sort of, I didn't really like her.
What, when you met her?
Yeah. Do you know what? I didn't even meet her properly. It was like we work on the same show and just seeing her and stuff. I don't know what it is. I've proper took against her.
Yeah. Okay, because I felt like that about Rylan until I met him, and he was just the loveliest guy.
Right, who's Rylan?
He did. What did he do? X Factor, and then he
was on X Factor, and then he got a lucky break, and he now presents Big Brother.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, I know that boy. Very good looking. Is he a gay guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of a very chiseled, good looking lad. Very piercing eyes.
Yeah, because
I found him very. I thought, my God, this guy does my head in. But then once I met him, he was just lovely.
Yeah.
He was just such a really nice guy, you know.
I could tell you like 100 people like that who I've really disliked and then I've worked with them and been so wrong. Katie Brand was another one. Couldn't stand Katie Brand as a performer.
Yeah.
I really couldn't, and then I worked with her. And I was even dreading working with her. Because I was like, and she was just, honestly, one of the loveliest and genuinely talented people you'll ever meet. You know, when you work with people, then you see the actual talent. When you see them at work, and you go, oh, okay, you're really good. You're actually really good. So I was wrong. But Amanda, I just have just a sticking block on there, man. I mean, I'm sure she'll be all right. I don't think she's worried about it.
Yeah, because I done a This Morning interview with her.
Yeah.
With her and Philip Schofield.
Yeah.
And, she gave me a hug after. And she was just lovely, and I thought, this is the closest I'm ever going to get. Do you know what I mean? So I sort of made the most of it. But do you know what I was going to say to her? Have you seen that episode of Alan Partridge with the sex people?
Yeah.
And she goes, Alan, and gives him a hug, and he goes, don't rub your fanny on me.
Yeah.
I was going
to dying to say that to Amanda Holden.
Did she rub her nipples?
And I said to Stephen Mulhern after I was going to say to her, don't rub your fanny on me.
He said
she would have probably found that funny, but I didn't want to risk it because she was judging me a week later.
Right,
you know?
Always risk it. Always.
Yeah.
Because even if it goes badly wrong, you've got the story at the end of it.
Of course you have.
Well, look, Danny.
So let's just pretend I said that.
Totally. We'll edit that out. We'll just say that you said it. Danny, thanks ever so much, man. I appreciate you coming on and that.
No worries.
I'll let
thanks
you go.
For your time,
Ray. Where are you off to? Where are you going to? Where's your journey taking you?
I'm heading off to Nando's now for
some of
the week.
Just literally leave it at that. Let that be the last word on the interview. I'm heading off to Nando's for something to eat. All right, Danny, you can do that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Well, we'll get on with the radio show, but thanks so much for coming on. We'll speak to you soon.
Nice one.
Cheers,
no worries, thanks a lot, Nat.
Bye,
bye-bye.
Danny.
Cheers, bye-bye.
Cheers, thanks, bye.
That's Danny Postle. We're going to be back with Eric Lampere in a second, because we're overrunning
it
now.
The first of seven, though, interviews of Danny, isn't it? We've got, same next week, I think we're doing him again, aren't we?
We might do that.
Yeah.
If you can learn some more impressions.
I can, yeah.
All right. Sorry, we didn't realise there's been more requests for impressions for Nat. Nat, quickfire ones now. Daniel Fun has said, Barack Obama. Barack Obama, Nat.
I'm the president.
Next one, Nat. Paul Clark has said, Nat, do Rolf Harris.
How's about that, though?
Yeah, they're all the same, aren't they?
Do you think
it's in
there?
They're all the same. Do you think it's in there?
What does he say?
Fucking hell, Nat. Sorry, got another one as well. Jackie Chan again. Do Jackie Chan again. Yep. Daniel Fons, that's for Michael Caine.
Don't blow the bloody doors off.
Rory Saint said, and Dodds and all, but I think it's actually a tweet about something else.
Look,
you try and do Barry Dodds.
Oh, I love a horror film.
It's good.
Freddy Krueger.
Really, I think Barry Dodds would probably let you do him.
Yeah.
I think this is Silent Mark. I think Nat should do an impression of Ben Kingsley and Gandhi. In Gandhi, though, playing Gandhi.
Thank you very much, Ray Peacock.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
Kev Sim. That's for three. That's for Ramesh Ranganathan, Mr. Miyagi, and Nelson Mandela.
Who's Mr. Miyagi?
Mr. Miyagi is
the
man from
Wax On, Wax Off.
That's good. So what we need to do is we need to do all three of those. Very fast. So we're going from Ramesh.
Right, I can only do Ramesh.
I'll show you Ramesh again. Hang on.
Thank you very much, Ramesh.
There's Ramesh, right? So you got to do that one.
Ramesh, got Ramesh.
Mr. Miyagi, and then straight to Nelson Mandela.
I can't remember what I said for Nelson Mandela
now. Doesn't matter, mate.
I've got nothing.
Just got to do it, mate. Amanda Alden's
watching.
Who did
you say he sounded like, Nelson Mandela? And
a little bit like Chris Eubank.
Chris Eubank, there we go. Let me write that down. The little
right, you ready?
Eubank.
Here we go for our weekly section, Nat's Racist Impressions.
No, it's not called that.
Go for it. Go.
Thank you very much, Ray Peacock. Wax on, wax off. I fight you.
I've just been told by the assistant producer that 14:21 today, exactly 20 minutes ago,
what did you say?
You said, because you were talking about being tired, you said, Jimmy Savile has taken it out of me.
Thanks, Will.
So that was a good bit of information for me to get there. We're joined by Eric Lamper.
Hello, hello.
How are you, man?
Very good, how are you?
I'm all right, just sitting on Twitter, mate. That picture of you there sat ready for the show. You're looking pretty decent, man.
Thanks, man.
You do.
Why are you surprised?
No, but it's like, I think I'm surprised because you look kind of serious, but arresting.
Well, the thing is, you know, for a few years at the beginning of my career, I had long hair, I had a beard. I looked really scruffy, and I've got a very
large, gummy smile.
I've got a large
Who
gummy...
Who comes in with that?
What?
Straight away to me going, I had long hair and a beard, I look really scruffy. Well, and I'm here. I'm literally in front of you.
Yeah, but the thing is, you look healthy. I look gaunt.
I don't look healthy at all.
You look healthy.
You do not look healthy. You've got
colour.
I look like a heart attack waiting to happen.
No.
And the reason I've got a tan on is because I was doing Sky this morning, so I've still got the makeup on from the studio.
Oh.
And it's actually burning my cheeks a little bit.
Mate, I'm Jack Skellington with a wig on.
That's all right, it's a good look.
Yeah, but it's creepy.
And your hair's still long anyway, so don't give me this.
And when I smile, it's like a horse's mouth. It's very gummy, right? So then I just thought, you know what? Don't smile and look as normal as you can.
Why?
Just, you know, it's quite nice sometimes.
But it's your thing, though, isn't it?
Just pictures for my mum. Do you know what I mean?
Esther Hansen goes like 20 years and goes, right, don't smile. It's a thing, isn't it? It's what you know. What you're known for is being a big gummy.
No, but
Jack Skellington.
Yeah, that's true. But I want pictures out there to go, oh, he's normal. So they come to my show and then I creep them out.
I got you. Okay, so
Buffalo Bill style.
So you're hoping that picture will surprise people. You actually look like someone else in this picture, and I'm having trouble placing who it is.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Probably just sort of brought it up. No, actually, I can't think who you're reminding me of in that picture. It doesn't look like you. That doesn't look like you, that picture.
Who do you think it looks like?
I know it is you.
I don't...
You stopped looking like yourself.
Oh. Well, I am an actor, so I can... You know, that's how good I am at acting sometimes.
Can you do impressions,
Can I do impressions?
Yeah. Now, can you do?
Mr. Barack Obama here.
That's a good one.
It's better than you.
No.
I'm a president.
Yeah. I think you find that Barack Obama says, I am the president.
He does. He does say that to people that don't know.
Can you do Ben Kingsley and Gandhi? Just to go through some of the back catalogue here.
No, but maybe I can do Ben Kingsley and Schindler's List.
Oh, yeah.
I'm listening.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Jimmy Savile?
I'm not racist like you, mate.
Can you do? It's not.
How's that racist?
Look, this is the problem, and this is the problem with a lot of racists. They don't even realise they're racist, and I think that's the problem. Today, this has been a social experiment that you've just been consistently racist today.
Well,
without even knowing you're doing it.
If he's in Gandhi, then he's Indian, isn't he?
But then when you weren't being racist, you were taking off prolific paedophiles.
And actually, Gandhi sounded like this most of the time.
That was Gandhi.
Terribly posh. Okay, I've got Gandhi now, then.
Did a lot of dinner parties.
Gandhi. Do Gandhi.
Go on, then.
I'm very posh. I'm Gandhi. There we go.
Again, it's that saying I'm very posh.
It sounds racist when you do it.
Yeah, that sounded really properly racist. That was a terrible voice now that you just did there.
It's
not acceptable, though.
Can you do Rolf Harris, Eric?
That
was the wobble thought, wasn't it?
It was more of a visual impression.
Now, what was that the noise of, though? Sounded weird if you didn't see the context of him with a wobble board.
I think people would have understood.
Like, well, you know.
Having a good time.
Eric, tell me about all your life at the moment.
My life? You know, I'm French and British,
yep.
And I'm now married to an American.
British, that is.
Right? Well, no, I'm now the Allies. I know all three of the things.
Nice.
And so I'm applying.
When did you get married?
October 11th. Last year. Yeah.
Last year.
So it's a new wedding.
To
it's
a lady?
A lady.
What's her name?
Jordan.
Say congratulations.
What am I saying congratulations?
He's
saying
married.
Mate, can you not be rude,
please? It's kind of
unbelievable.
It's kind of tacit in the conversation that we're having. It's like, yeah.
Nice.
Congratulations, Eric.
It's okay.
To Jordan.
Yes, to a lovely lovely lady.
What does Jordan do?
Jordan is, well, she was a model back in America.
Here we go, here we go.
And she still is, but she's actually an animal behaviourist. It's in, mate. She's beautiful and intelligent. I don't know how I've done this.
I've got a similar thing going on, and I think this is perhaps something, I think she might kill me one day.
Why?
I do. You know when you're with someone, and you'll relate to this now, Eric, who's a bit too perfect?
Right.
And you sort of go... Because you kind of go, you got sort of like so attractive and so smart and all the rest of it and funny and all the rest. And you just go, I'm going to wake up with a knife in me. Like, there must be a psychopath lurking underneath there.
I'm very lucky that she is not perfect whatsoever.
Is she not perfect? Why not?
She's gassy. She is. I mean, you know, it's good. There has to be room for gas in a relationship.
It does.
But she is like, I mean, every day.
I'm not sure I'd call it a flaw though, Eric.
No, the amount she releases is like the amount of like four cows. You know how many cows have four stomachs. You know how much methane comes out of them. I'm not saying she's a cow. I'm saying that she has like eight stomachs. I don't know. Right.
Do you reckon you're going to make it to your anniversary on October the 11th?
I don't think she's listening.
I just think that's going to go. I'll send it to her. So you got married to an American lady called Jordan.
Yes, it's been
animal behaviourist and former model, but a bit of model still.
It's been an interesting year because of immigration. So like, I'm French English and stuff, so she's had to come here, and now she's like, now luckily she's legal. Okay, she's 16, which is great.
boom! That was a good joke.
She's allowed to work and stuff, and obviously, like, she won't. We're gonna claim benefits, but like, she can work, and I'm doing the same thing for America, and. So Europeans call my wife an immigrant, but according to American law, I am an alien of extraordinary ability.
Which is an amazing...
Isn't that amazing?
An amazing phrase.
Alien because I'm European, and extraordinary ability because I talk bollocks for a living.
So if I went over to America, would I be that and all?
Yeah, if you applied for a work visa, alien of extraordinary ability, yeah. So, like, if you're a scientist, a sportsman, that extraordinary ability...
I know you've kind of bagsied this for your show.
Right.
I get that, but I'd quite like to have it in real life as well.
You can still have it in real life.
Well, they put it on your passport and stuff.
I think they might stamp it in the visa.
Yeah. I shan't rest. Until
It is a great feeling. But the thing is, since becoming an alien of extraordinary ability, I've had like a weird crisis because talking bollocks is fun, but not an extraordinary ability. Like, there's people in Calais who can like build houses, and they're not allowed in the country, and I. We talk crap and we're like, have a visa.
But is it because you're going somewhere where talking doesn't... No, that's not even true, is it? I was going to say where talking doesn't come easy, but it does, doesn't it? I think that's all right. I think you can revel in that title.
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
I mean, it is a title.
I like the word alien. That's what I'm exploring at the moment as well. Alien means, you know, you're a foreigner. It also means you're strange. But I'm going to explore space with this show. I'm doing a show called Alien Extraordinability, and I'm going to explore space.
How are you going to explore space, Aaron?
Well, you know, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but on Facebook, there's more and more articles about science and stuff. Science has really, really, like, taken over in the last 5 years or so. Like, you just see more and more and more posts. And we just found the scientists.
You and your people.
Like, scientists have found like so many planets where like we can move to at some point. Probably not like in my lifetime, but at some point we could. Well, maybe.
That would be fun.
If you do some work, you can come.
Okay.
She dips in and out of conversations.
I'd like to
just to explain
planet.
If she just goes.
But it's nice. If
that's her starting to listen.
She pretends to listen to it.
Yeah. When she goes, that's her starting to listen to it. And then she will then chip in for the next thing she's heard.
Oh, that's nice.
I like other planets.
She's trying to... There we go. There's Nat's contribution. I like other planets.
What's your favourite planet?
What ones you like, Nat? What planets do you like?
I feel like a green one. A green is a good colour on me.
I was thinking more about actual names.
Neptune.
Neptune's like blue, isn't it? Got a bluish hue. You can live on it. If I'm honest, you can live on it.
No, I don't think so.
It'd have to be Kepler 452b is the one that they found.
Do you want to move there, Nat? Would you like to move to Kepler?
It's too of a mouthful. Imagine having that as your address. Kepler 254b.
Again, I don't think post is going to be an issue.
At some point it will be, won't it?
Not really.
Well, probably. Yeah. How are we going to communicate?
Exactly.
Internet, mate.
Good point.
Be all space Skype. That's where it'll be. Space Gate. There'll be no sending letters.
Okay, Kepler 252. That sounds good.
452B, mate.
452B, mate.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Come on, Nat.
Way better than 452A.
Told you didn't listen. Come on, keep up, Nat. So, how are you going to explore space? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm now... This is genuinely
true. Oh, is it a secret? Maybe a secret.
No, no, no. 3 weeks ago, I've applied, and I'm currently doing my maths and physics A-levels.
That's genuinely a start, isn't it?
Yeah, genuinely. Just because that was a genuine crisis. I was like, you know what? I love being a comedian. I'll continue doing it.
Okay.
But, like, that's not a skill. What if, like, in 10 years, things aren't looking well for this planet? What if there's, like, an apocalypse?
Yeah.
How... I have no skills to survive.
I don't think I want to.
What, yeah. Survive?
Yeah, and especially in an apocalypse.
Have you seen Mad Max? Oh, come on. You totally want
I'm
to survive.
I'm not seeing you Mad Max.
It's a great, yeah, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Like, some people didn't like it. I really liked it.
Speaking of exploring space and other dimensions, have you seen Fantastic Four?
Not yet. I've not heard great things.
No, seen Fantastic Four?
No, I don't want to.
Mm.
I like the cast. I just don't think
it's really not
it
great.
Would be good.
I didn't like...
David Schneider made a great joke. He went, oh, I've not seen Fantastic Four, but I haven't seen the first three either.
Oh, that's nice, so, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Nice little one.
Ant-Man, have you seen Ant-Man?
I have seen Ant-Man. I went to the premiere.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this shit. I went to the premiere. Why did you go to the premiere?
Oh, just because I do love superhero films.
Yeah, same, but I didn't go to the premiere of Ant-Man.
Well, I mean, I love them so much, mate. I make the effort.
So did you go
to Avengers Age of Ultron premiere?
No, I didn't.
No, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Do you mean the film or, like, in the crowd?
Is it Westfield,
mate? How did you go to the premiere? I'm really confused.
When you know people.
Oh, I see. I went to the premiere and I was in the crowd taking photos.
She'll need it.
Oh, yeah. I was just there asking for pictures.
Paul! Paul! Explain better than that.
Paul!
How did you get there?
Ant-Man is possibly one of the best superhero films I've seen in a very long time.
It's up there, top five Marvel, I'd say. It's up there. And it was. And I think I said that on this show.
It was a film
I wasn't asked about, and I thought, because I'm not asked about it, I bet you I love it. Mm. But I also thought something about Fantastic Four, and I didn't love that.
No.
I'd say in Marvel films, I narrowed it down the other day, so Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man, Avengers, the original Avengers.
Four.
What was the other one that I thought? There was another film. Captain America, Winter Soldier. America. I'd say they're my top four.
Oh, really?
Marvel films.
I've not seen that Winter Soldier one yet. So I'm looking for... Is it good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because I was a bit disappointed with the first one, so I was like...
It's nothing like the first one.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
It's, well, Captain America's in it. But it's... well, the universe had developed more at that point.
You know, right.
I mean, the Marvel universe, not our universe.
I love that all the movies, slowly, there's, like, little callbacks in each of the films.
So they're morphing into each other,
I really like that.
But the issue with that, though, I think, is that when you get a duff one, it kind of knackers up your timeline. So I, like... For example, I didn't like Thor Dark World, the second Thor film.
I really didn't like it.
Right, yeah, I didn't either.
And that was like, that's kind of ruined it a bit. That's ruined the connection a little bit.
Yeah, but you can just blame Thor and you can carry on loving the other ones.
Do you know what I didn't like about Thor Dark World more than anything else?
What?
Was that it was based in the UK. A lot of it was like based in the UK.
Yeah, yeah.
As in the story was set in the UK. And it was obviously not the real UK. It
right.
was, and then also there were people that we know, you know, were in that film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, people that, you know, comics that we work with and stuff.
Mm.
And I just found it, so I couldn't suspend my disbelief. And I also started sulking a little bit, just going, well, why did I not get any chance of being in that?
It's a weird thing. But here's a little interesting thing. So I've done, I'm fortunate enough that I've done three films now.
What ones have you been in?
One that's been out in France called Le Prof de, right? So you wouldn't know it.
I love the sound.
The other one is called Amsterdam. And I don't know when that's out. And then the other one called Moonwalkers, and that's out in January.
It's Michael Jackson,
right? I mean, yes, but Moonwalkers is with Rupert Grint and Ron Perlman and stuff.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Cowboy.
I'm looking forward to when it comes out.
He is Hellboy.
I know him, he is.
He is Hellboy, yeah. He's also in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
The EastEnders with motorbikes, I call it.
Yeah,
I like it.
He was in, what's the James Spader series that I like?
Oh, Boston Legal.
No, the other one, the new one.
Oh, the where he's a serial, Blackout.
No, Blacklist.
Here's an interesting thing that I experienced. It was my first experience of movies.
Okay.
So... I've done three of them. Now, two of them are set in London, and they were both filmed in Belgium.
Right.
And one's set in Amsterdam, and it was filmed in London.
Okay.
Hmm.
And it's just weird.
What are you playing in them? What nationality are you playing in them?
So the Amsterdam one, you don't know the nationality. I'm a little bit like a sort of Fear and Loathing Las Vegas kind of character.
Nice.
I'm a methadone actor, so I play a drug addict in a lot of them. And then I play a sort of English housemaster in the French film.
Very nice.
Because I can speak fluent French.
Yeah. That, I mean, that wasn't fluent French.
That was right, yeah.
Je peux parler français? Je peux parler français?
She likes French!
I love French.
Tu aimes les français?
Yeah.
I mean, I heard you bad-mouthing him about an hour ago,
Eric,
on this radio.
Eric, hey, turn that on.
I love a bit of French stuff.
Get Nat horny. Get Nat horny.
Who
French
was in the French film with you, please?
You wouldn't know the French...
She might do.
Might do.
Okay, well, actually, one of them is... you know, have you ever seen the movie Amelie?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know the one that constantly gets sick behind the tobacco thing?
Yeah,
yeah. She was in that.
Oh,
so me and her
I do.
Yeah.
Do you know someone that was
nice
in it?
Is it turning you on yet?
The sick lady in Amelie. No,
no, just the French. Just the idea of French.
I do, French. I love French.
Tu aimes les Français, ouais?
France, oui, oui.
I'm moving there in January.
Oh, where to?
For Paris, for like 3 to 6 months.
Will you still be an alien of extraordinary ability if you do that?
Yeah, I'm going to come back, like I'd say, once a month to London and then do Edinburgh Fringe next year. But I'm doing a little tour in France.
Okay.
Which
should
be fun.
Nice.
In French?
En français, yeah.
Nice, nice. And you're off to the Fringe now, in a bit, in a minute?
Yeah, on Thursday. Yeah, there's a show that I do called Comedian Cinema Club. I don't know, why haven't you done it? I've asked you to do it before,
I think you did ask me last year, and I think I said, oh yeah, I'll do
you
that.
That's the thing, you need to be free, unfortunately. But like, it's an improv show.
Ed did it, Gamble did it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did it like yesterday and the day before, and he got a lovely review for it.
Did he? What,
yeah,
end? What
yeah.
On?
He did Frozen. He was Elsa.
Oh, Christ.
He was the Ice Queen.
Right.
And he was so good.
Didn't he do... I've never seen Frozen. Didn't he do Labyrinth?
He did Labyrinth. He was... he had a big bulge. He had a very big bulge.
He hasn't got a big bulge, so he's put something down.
Oh, there. He puts... I mean, there was a lot of socks in there.
Yeah, yeah. Because he hasn't got one in real life.
Oh.
And what was the other one he did? He did another
He's done
one.
A few. He's really... He was... I think he was Biff. Was he Biff in Back to the Future?
Future. Which is unfair, because since he lost the weight, he doesn't look like Biff anymore, but he used to be the fucking image of Biff.
Yeah.
Like, he actually did used to be the image where he had weight on him. And he also used to look like, do you remember in Home Alone?
Yeah.
The older brother of Macaulay Culkin,
who
was a bully.
Oh, yeah,
he looked
like that
as well.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
But
get him to do that.
It's a really fun show, because essentially it's comedians who get to... Because being a comedian is a fun job, but it's quite lonely. And mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what, make a show
that's
where
what
you
appeals
can,
to me about it.
We could all work together.
I can't be arsed with that.
No, but not all the time. Not all the time. Yeah. Imagine if you did it all the time, that'd be tiring. But as a little treat, trying to like
improvise. It's a Dick About show as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which I mean, from my experience of it, having seen Ed prep for it and stuff, it's a Dick About show with a surprising amount of prep.
Right.
No, but you don't have to do any prep.
I know, but he's like, he's a little posh boy.
Yeah, but then the thing is, you see, if he does prep, he always does really well out of it. The more prep you do, the better you come out.
Yeah.
But the whole show is just comedians getting together trying to improvise a film under an hour.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Well, who would you do if you were doing it, Ray? If you were going to do this?
Is there a film with just one bloke in it?
Castaway.
I'd do Moon.
Castaway.
Even though I don't even like the film, I'd do Moon.
Yeah.
No, I can't do Castaway, because then someone will go, oh yeah, and Charlie Baker's playing the football. It's like, no, I want to do it on my own.
Okay.
I like it. No, I do like it. I'm being deliberately facetious, but I like it as an idea. And so how long you do that for in the French this year? Is that already on running? Is it?
Yeah, it's already
without
running.
Without you there, so you don't have to be there.
No, I'd have to be there, like, because now it's just a show that people can do together. So it's quite nice.
Was it your creation?
It is my creation.
Does it not feel horrible letting that go?
No, it's actually beautiful to hear that it's going really well and comedians getting on and stuff like that. I'm still getting a cut from the money, mate.
But what if they're happier without you? You know, that, like, if you stop...
Well, the review read really well. So
who reviewed it? What was the review in?
Broadway Baby, four stars.
Yeah, that was very nice.
But it read really nice.
Okay.
Chort reviewed it last year. You know, it's going well. It's
got a good name, though. That's good, you know, that's on the Fringe, hasn't it?
Comedian Cinema Club, yeah. And then also on YouTube.
I don't mean the name is clever. I mean, it's got a good reputation.
Oh, right.
That's what I meant.
It's a good name as well, though.
It is also a good name.
Alliteration.
Yeah, there is, which is always...
If you want like, quintuple alliteration, right, on YouTube, I made some casting couches.
Nice.
Comedian Cinema Club casting couch.
Nice.
That's nice.
And you can check, like, it's like Josh Howey, Katya Kavinga, who else is on there? There's loads. Felicity Ward.
Nice.
Yeah, check them out.
I can't do a radio show, but I will when I've finished. So your alien of extraordinary ability, when are you previewing that? You're doing work in progress at the moment.
Yeah, so it's actually for next year's Edinburgh, so plenty of time. But tomorrow I'm at Angel Comedy Club, and it's free. It's a free show.
Nice.
Like, Angel Comedy, have you ever gigged there?
I don't know.
You totally need to, because they pack it.
I don't
they
live down here
pack
I live like long way away.
Yeah, but it's worth it because they pack it full of delicious audience members, and it's just so.
But I did
fun.
Like I did Art Water Comedy in Liverpool. Have you done that gig?
No, I did. That. I try not to leave the M25.
But there we go. So that's about. I live upwards.
Do they have delicious audience members?
It was brilliant. Oh, okay. It reawoke my love of Liverpool as a comedy place because I used to do Baby Blue a lot and I fucking hated that club.
Yeah,
really don't like it at all. Though. People who run it I fucking hate that club. And it was nice to go to Liverpool and do a club where they actually do give a shit about the comedy. Yeah. Where they, you know, it's not about selling beer and food.
Yeah.
It's actually, and you know, and security that just stare
at it. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. I don't understand why, because you gig around the world, right? Yeah, outside the UK. Outside of the UK, audience members generally aren't pricks. Generally, they don't heckle as much.
No, totally.
But in the UK, there's a weird, like, acceptance that people can be pricks in an audience. It's like, I'm not a babysitter.
Honestly, pretty much verbatim what you've just said, I said last night to someone. And it's, I did a week in Amsterdam last week,
week before last.
At the Tumler Club in Amsterdam.
Right.
Okay, and it's run by a collective of comics. So the comics run it, they're in charge of booking it and all the rest of it. There's no manager, there's none of that. It's a collective club. It's a beautiful underground club. All, you know, it's not, there's nothing crappy about it. It's a really nice club. And the first night we were there, it was me and Tim Key did it. It's like an international festival thing.
Yeah.
And we did the last week of it, me and Tim, with a Dutch comic component. And did it in English. And on the first night, there was a lady in the audience who was only a tiny bit chippy, a little bit sort of like... She was a bit drunk and she was a bit giddy. And she'd been spoke to and she kept shouting out names of ice creams because of something that the compo had done.
Right.
It was pretty well-natured, but she was just slightly on the edge of it. It was like getting annoying. And I went on and she was doing something else. She was still shouting out ice creams when I was on. I dealt with her and that. And it was funny and we all had a laugh and that. Mm. When I came off, some of the comics who weren't on, who'd just come down to watch the show, were like, that doesn't happen here. We don't have that. We don't have that. That's not... And they were mortified. And they were saying, we were sort of discussing amongst ourselves whether, you know, one of us should have gone over and said to her, no, you've got to be quiet. You've got to be...
Right.
And there was such a respect there for what was going on the stage and such a... they considered that very low level of interruptance as criminal. You know, and I was like... It wasn't
the thing is, I personally enjoy a little heckling because it makes the night unique and it challenges us and it makes it a bit more fun.
I agree
fun.
With that, but it shouldn't be something. It should always be an anomaly in a room. It shouldn't be something that we just
expect
put up with.
And also, there's different heckling, right? If you heckle and you're trying to join in, like the ice cream thing, actually sounds a little fun.
Yeah,
maybe she was a little bit annoying, but
she
sounds
just
fun, right?
Only slightly tips.
But those idiots, Ella, the ones that say you're shit and you're doing really well.
Yeah,
you know what? You don't like me. Go fucking read a book, you stupid piece of shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I
got it.
Where were you last night?
Mate, I find it so disrespectful.
Same. I agree.
We're on stage. We travel 200 miles up to go to Manchester, 200 miles back.
Yeah.
It's like an 8-hour journey or whatever, and you want to perform. You want to do so well. You want to make these people laugh, and they ruin it by acting like complete cunts.
You can say it.
Right?
Yeah,
thanks.
I really needed to say that.
I could feel it coming.
Well,
and you go around, like in America, everywhere, they'll heckle. Sure, there'll be odd incidents, but it doesn't happen. And then you become back. Oh, fucking hell!
Whoa! Does it tend to be men or women?
No.
You'd be surprised.
This isn't carrying on.
Oh,
that's the end of the interview. He's Eric's come in and he was perfectly eloquent and lovely. He spoke about his wife with a lot of affection.
Can you stop heckling, please?
Spoke about his show and stuff. He's obviously very excited and, you know, about his films that he's doing and that. And he's got clearly got a love for comedy and a love for performing. And
Rupert is lovely.
Stop asking questions now. Grin, he's lost his temper.
Yeah, but that's okay. Benefits.
This is where John Gaunt always goes wrong. there always comes a moment where he just loses it.
Yeah, but Eric's back in the room now,
isn't
he?
No, that's the end. That's the end of it.
That was his extraordinary ability there.
Thank you, man, for coming in. I do appreciate it.
It's been
genuinely enjoyable. And that best show title ever. Like genuinely, that's you've fucking hooked that one.
I'll talk to the American Embassy for you to have it as well.
Can I have another alien of extraordinary ability? I can have another on the front.
Yeah, yeah.
Another one.
That'd be good.
And we could do a show same year.
Oh.
Do you know what you should do? You should even though you do it 1 year and then you should franchise that title out.
Yeah.
That's
so that loads
true.
Of comics can have it. and they all can have another one. And another alien of extraordinary ability. Eric Lamper. So tomorrow night you're at the Angel Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Doing a work in progress, I guess, for this
Indeed.
Show.
Delicious audience members.
They are delicious.
Yeah.
Get down there and get a mouthful of them. Sorry, we've been missing the impressions. Nat, impression, what have you got there?
Rory says, can you do Arnie then Stallone?
Go for it.
That's easy, isn't it? I'll be back. Vivian, oh, what's
Vivian.
Her name?
Oh,
what's
you
her
were
name?
So
Adrian.
Close. You were
Adrian.
So close. Okay, what else have you got? Delish.
Delish says,
hey, that's a good name, isn't it? Delish.
Delish. I'm a bit Delish.
Look at this lady.
I would like to hear your impression of Adam.
Like Farrah
Sexy
Fawcett.
Legs.
Do you know who she looks like?
Who?
She looks like when she was younger.
Yeah.
Oh, what the fuck's that lady's name?
I bet I could do an impression of her, is it?
It's the lady that was...
Farrah Fawcett.
No, not Farrah Fawcett. She has a look of Farrah Fawcett, this lady, but... the
Pamela Anderson.
I can't remember. Stop saying different names now.
That's gonna be one of them.
The lady who ended up in Boston Legal. She's a lot older now, but she was like kind of. I'll come back to it. But that's who you look like. You really look like it, Delish.
Right. Well, she would like me to do Adam.
Adam, go for it.
Bump and I just gonna like.
Bump and grind.
Bump and grind. That's all Adam says, really, isn't it?
Sorry, Delish. Paul Clark, Nat, do John Gaunt. No.
Is that
you did, John Gaunt? Is that you sulking in the studio?
That was my impression.
You've got to put some music on there if you do that. You can't.
No, that's true.
You can come and just fold your arms in the studio and refuse to go on, but you can be silent, but you've got to put some music on, mate.
Right. That's
good. Duds.
Oh.
What are you typing?
Hiya.
That was the best impression of Danny Postel I've ever heard. How does he like it?
Oh.
Barry Dodds,
hi, love.
We've been a bit, we're struggling today for time. I think it's because we've got this sort of low time thing.
Yeah, you're busy today. I thought I was going to get out of it.
No.
Well, Rob Deering's actually arrived, right? And I went out to Rob to say, oh, you're right, because he meant to be on at 3, and I said, you're right to hang on for 10 minutes. And he's actually thrown a bit of a hissy fit.
He
went, oh, yeah, I'll just sit here.
Oh.
And I went, okay, cheers, mate. And then he's walked off. He said he was going, but I don't think he has gone. I think he's just gone to the toilet or something.
Oh, well, listen, you know, you can speak to him. I'll speak to you next week.
No, we've got two emails in that relate to Barry.
That's why we've got to speak to him.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All right.
The first one. Hi, guys. It's from Hannah. I love you all
Candice
dearly.
Candice Bergen.
Candice Bergen, yes.
Candice
yes,
Bergen.
Yeah,
she
yeah,
really
yeah,
looks
yeah.
like Candice Bergen.
Yeah. I love you all
that
dearly.
That Delish lady looks like her. Beautiful.
Do me a favour. As if that horrible French film wasn't bad enough, I'm up the duff and due on Christmas Day. This new rape her with
is
a log.
This Hannah? Is this Hannah?
This okay. new rape her with a log and eat some people one is just too much. I listened to the podcast that helped me drift off to sleep 2 nights ago and I haven't slept since. Everything was going so well. We even had some good serial killer talk, which I'd like more of, please.
No.
But B. Dodds should never be allowed to recommend films to anybody, ever. Can't we just make him watch The Goonies or Bring It On and let him do a review of that? I've been trying to get Ray to watch Pitch Perfect for 2 years and
absolutely
he won't
watch it.
He won't because a girl calls herself fat in it. But there's a film about a man raping his own baby that he was fine with. I can't cope.
That's one of the reasons I won't watch it. The main reason is it's obviously a film for girls.
Yeah. Well, no, not really.
It obviously
it's
is.
Not really.
It clearly is.
Thanks. I think you are all swell. P.S. How come you never play any Barry Manilow?
It's a weird question.
PPS.
Yep.
Who is Nat's favourite serial killer?
Oh, she always does
What's
this.
What's the serial killer thing?
She just genuinely wants to know.
I don't think I have a favourite.
I know, this is what I always say to her. Nobody should have a favourite. Shouldn't be a favourite thing. Shouldn't be a celebrated thing.
He was quite bad. Hitler. He was quite bad.
Yeah, there we go. Hitler. She's choosing Hitler for a favourite serial killer.
Wait, were you saying he's not one?
Dodds, you got a favourite serial killer?
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't know.
Serial
killer. I'm not really into serial killers. So, I'm people are like fascinated by them.
Jack the Ripper?
Not really.
Do you like Jack the Ripper?
No.
What are you looking for, Nat?
I'm just going to point to you for what we've
got. Oh, right. Okay.
The next email from Steve. Hi, Ray. After hearing how much Barry Dodds hated both the Pet Shop Boys and the Beatles, particularly Paperback Writer, I wondered how it would sound if Pet Shop Boys did a cover version.
This is amazing.
Obviously, I couldn't get Neil and Chris to do a bespoke recording, so I've tried
there
to imagine
I've
what
played,
they would...
I've played a bit of it now.
That's enough, Barry.
I've played a bit of it now. There you go, Hannah.
Okay. Obviously, I couldn't get Neil and Chris to do a bespoke recording, so I've tried to imagine what they would have come up with and attached an MP3 of the outcome. Probably too late. Hope that Barry enjoys it. Cheers, Steve.
So I've not heard this. So what is it? So this is Pet Shop Boys and the Beatles.
Yeah, Paperback Writer.
All right. So
a lot of work,
this
Steve.
Is the first time. Have you already heard this, Dodds?
No, Barry.
I've heard it. It's brilliant.
Okay, let's have a listen to this. Excellent. How's he done that? Has he just sung that himself?
Yeah, I think he did it. I think
he's
Steve.
Done that himself. It's fun. When I heard it, I was so impressed.
What did you do?
Well, I sent him a message away. I said that. Obviously, I hate both the source material.
No, you said you loved it.
I said, can you do Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode and the Style of Erasure? And he's off working on it for me. I love that.
Brilliant.
That would be something I'd properly listen to.
What a great thing to do to people who are fans, just go and send them on errands.
More work to do.
Have you been listening to the show, Barry?
Yeah, I've heard bits of it, yeah. I've been playing with bits of ghost hunting stuff at the minute, so I've been a bit distracted.
Can you do an impression of Bill Cosby?
Amazing. Nat's
I'm just throwing it out there
Nat's
for other people.
Nat's been interviewing.
Do an impression of Bill Crosby.
Yeah, Bill Crosby.
Bill Crosby, yeah.
Don't do Bill Cosby, for God's sake, but if you can do it a Bill Crosby, we'd appreciate that.
It's not as easy.
Can you do an impression of Bill Cosby, Barry? Have you heard any of Nat's impressions today?
I have. They've been brilliant.
She
did an impression of me, but missed the obvious.
What was that?
Don't tell her, Barry. See if she can work it out. That's good. A good point. Go on, do your impression of Barry again.
Film.
Film.
Cling film. Do you say cling film or cling film? Do we know yet?
Yeah, did you ask your helper?
I've got somebody that I live with and they're keeping an eye out for me. Up till this point, I've not had cause to use any.
Okay. Well, you can't ask somebody who you live with to keep an eye on you, mate.
Right. We spoke about this last night.
And to listen out for whether you say cling film or cling film. But yeah, if you could just speak to somebody you live with and get them to check that and just keep an eye on it.
Okay.
Is that all right? Nat, when that song was on, said, "Oh, we should get all the guests to do impressions." And then she went quiet for a second. Then she went, "Oh, we should get all the guests to do an impression of Jimmy Savile."
Well, I've had to.
So that's Nat's. Idea for a running section.
Eric did. Oh, he did Rolf Harris.
We should get all the guests to do an impression of Jimmy Savile, Nat.
Yep.
That's what you brought to the table today.
The best thing about that is that's the person who's meant to be in charge and sort of holding keeping the show on track and responsible.
I mean,
he's dead.
Do you know what? I don't think it's about upsetting Jimmy Savile's feelings. I don't think that's what the issue is here. And you're saying it like, "Oh yeah, but what if one of Jimmy Savile's family hears it and gets upset about somebody doing an impression of their late uncle or whatever he was?"
Yeah.
That's not what the issue is,
there's
is it?
There's no issue. The issue is I didn't know the difference between Tommy Cooper, and that was a problem.
Yeah.
But I do now.
For now.
Now then. Oh no, God.
There we go, straight away. Did it again. Immediately did it again.
Just like that, that's what he said, didn't he?
But you're now doing Jimmy Savile doing Tommy Cooper.
No.
You're now going, just like that. It won't work like that. Barry, do you have any impressions?
I can't really do any. I could do an impression of the comedian Mike Wilkinson, but nobody knows him.
Do it anyway.
Oh, come on then. Let's get Ralph and, you know, get down pub and have a walk up a hill.
Sounded like Gary Barlow, actually. That was quite good.
No, that wasn't very good. That was actually a bit more good. Dave Twentyman.
I mean, what was amazing?
I knew Dave Twentyman.
Go on. Nobody knows
who
that is.
That's not racist.
Who's that?
He's telling you who they are before he does
them. I didn't hear him say it. What did he say? You said no one's heard of him.
He said, "I can do Mike." I didn't say that. He said it. He went, "I can do Mike Wilkinson." Then he did Mike Wilkinson. He went, "Who's that?"
Oh, I thought it was a new one because he already did Mike Wilkinson. It sounded like Gary Barlow. Can you do Freddy Krueger?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I met him yesterday.
I know, that's why I asked. Yeah, I saw that.
He was lovely. Oh, I'm wondering if I can tell you this. A friend, I want you to let me know if you think that Robert Englund's been a cunt or not.
Been a cunt?
Yeah, I went to this thing to meet him yesterday on my own. And one of the things I was doing was a friend of mine, it's her birthday on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I lied. I told him a little lie because I wanted him to record like a little birthday message.
You lied to Freddy Krueger?
Yeah. So, listen, my friend's really ill. She couldn't make it, but she's
holy
shit.
Barry.
Don't go to sleep, Barry. Freddie's coming.
Hang on. I've got to be dead quick in case she comes in.
Go on, go.
I went, she's really ill. He's just recorded like a happy birthday message. He went, yeah, not a problem. Mm. So I held this thing up and he went, and he does it in character. And he goes, ha, ha, ha.
Hi there, Tom. So, I've got Barry here Tommy with Cooper. Me. Shame you'll never see him again. You know, but happy birthday. Shame it's your last.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Which I thought was great at the time. But yeah. Then I remembered when I got home. But I told him she was really ill.
I think that's all right. I think that's, it's in character. I also think... I thought it was Freddie that you met and not Columbo. Oh, Barry, I am here with Barry. Oh, it's just one more thing before I go. My wife does a great chili. I am Freddie.
Freddie.
No, I don't think he is. I don't think he's been...
I think it was all right.
I think he was doing it in character, but I think it's just when I really thought about it, I thought... God, that's inappropriate.
He might say that to everyone. Really, you know?
He probably does say that to everyone.
Yeah.
But what if she was ill? That was going to be her last birthday.
Yeah.
But did you say what she had? Did you say she was very ill or she just got a cold or something?
No, I just said she's ill.
Oh, sorry.
Do you know what's interesting about this is that Robert Englund is probably somewhere right now going, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe the lad said that his friend was ill. I can't believe I said I'm just so used to saying it as a thing, and I can't believe I did that.
Really,
and you're here going... You know, was he being nasty or not? I doubt it.
Yeah.
I'd say the only person that was being a dick in that situation was you by saying that your friend's ill.
Yeah.
When it's just the birthday.
What did you say to the fella from Terminator?
Get off the floor and get that out of your mouth.
What? What's that mean?
That's doing your career no good.
What was he doing?
Do you know what? Michael Bean. There's lots of rumours flying around that there's going to be another Aliens movie coming
Barry,
out.
Barry, careful.
Going to follow on.
Careful.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I
careful.
What I said to you last night.
No,
right.
Definitely not.
Okay. All right, what I'll say is I reckon Michael Bean looked like he'd had a proper good night out in Sheffield.
Right.
Oh, right. Was he doing the Walk of Shame? What was he doing?
I've got to get
no,
Rob Deering.
No,
I've got to get there.
I'm saying no more than that. Right, I'll see you next week. I'm in the studio.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Barry's coming in next week, so we'll see you up there.
I'm actually promoting something next week.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like a proper guest?
Being a proper guest.
Brilliant.
Selling summit.
And Andy Butler's watching a Serbian film, so he'll be in shock, but he'll be in the corner crying.
Is Butler going to be there next week?
He's going to be next week.
He's going to be there, okay. So we'll have a little party at the studio then.
Yeah. Maybe turn the mic on.
Right.
Yeah, maybe pop a mic on at some point. That's what we're gonna do. I've got to get Rob Deering in, mate. He's properly playing up, and he's being like proper little stroppy little madam. So, I've got to cut it short a bit, Barry, I'm afraid. But
no worries.
But I mean, obviously, Rob Deering's going to bring the gold now because you know now he's demanded our time. He'll bring the gold.
Is he in the studio now?
He's not. No, he's outside though. He can hear me.
All right. Okay. Hiya, Rob.
Oh, he actually shouted hi back.
Alright, I'll see you later.
Alright, mate, it's because of all the talking, isn't it? It's because we've all been talking all day. Rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit, bunny, jabber, rabbit. Mother phoned up last night, she was going to spur, she was in a temper, pulling out her sister's foot with a scruffy little thing, and mother don't give a monkeys, this is what it says. I don't care if you come join here. I got my beer on the sideboard here, let your mum sort it out if you come join here. That's Chaz and Dave. But that was actually Ray and Rob.
Yes. Rabbit.
Ray and Rob did. What?
Sorry, you virtually inserted that.
That was,
I had to.
Yeah, Nat just jumped across. I honestly thought you were going to kiss him then.
Oh, right. Okay,
so did I.
Went so fast at Rob then, but you had to move his mic.
Yes. Well, people do.
I know, they do. It's one of them things, isn't it? Rob Deering, you've been sulking in the other room because I asked you to wait for 10 minutes. That's all I said.
You've taken my little bit of comedy there and run with it, haven't you? And made it my story for the whole afternoon.
What were you so upset about?
I was doing a little joke for you.
Sometimes things have to
I forget
on a
how you
bit.
Take things and run with them like a little dog with a rope.
Things occasionally have to. Do you remember, speaking of ropes, remember when I broke your yo-yo?
Yeah, deliberately, for a joke.
I didn't do it deliberately.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Ed maintains it's one of the funniest things he's ever seen in his life when I broke your yo-yo. Rob gave me his yo-yo outside a gig. I think it was outside the Boxing Kings, I think it was. And I was playing with it and I was showing off about how good I am at yo-yo. And then it broke.
What did you do?
And then it broke.
It broke.
It just broke.
It just broke.
Right.
It did.
Just.
I swear, man. I absolutely swear.
How did it?
I can't even remember. I think it fell in half or something.
Oh, right, okay.
It just fell in half.
I think it fell in half. Really? I put it back together again, and then it wasn't working. And I just put it on the floor.
Yeah.
In front of Ed and said, "That's yours now." Right, and then did I even tell you that night I broke it?
No, I didn't find out till later. Ed told me afterwards.
Yeah. Did you have a yo-yo for fun, or was it part of your?
I was just thinking then. I think, why do they have a yo-yo?
Yeah.
I used to have a joke about yo-yo. I used to do a quite complicated loop and then yo-yo as well, and sing about how I was good at multitasking.
Oh, couldn't do that night, could you?
No, I couldn't.
She's been like this all day, by the way.
What?
Just slightly cutting. Well, you couldn't do that now, could you not? You're not that good.
No, I meant because you didn't have a yo-yo.
Can you do any impressions, Rob Deering?
Yes.
Who'd you do?
I do the, as you well know, I do the guy disguised as a human.
That's actually
Men in
not
Black.
What I was getting at, but you genuinely...
Who?
Yeah, right, you know Men in Black?
Yes.
You know Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket?
Yeah.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes, yeah. I like
and
him.
Also Kingpin and Daredevil now,
yeah,
as well.
Law and Order does that.
It's in Jurassic World as well.
Yeah.
He played the villain in Men in Black, the original Men in Black. And me and Rob Deering used to live together.
Yeah.
Very short time.
But wonderful time.
It was like a laugh. It was a laugh on
we
and off.
We had good times.
On and off.
Just the two of you?
No, Nick Doody lived with us as well.
Right, okay. That's nice.
And
but we rarely saw him.
Yeah.
Where was he?
Do you know, one time he got dressed...
and during that time we lived together, Rob Deering started doing.
I did buy it. That's how it began.
Yeah, I bought Men in Black on DVD because it was silver and I like shiny things.
Yeah,
I'll buy it.
That.
And you did an impression of Vincent. Yeah, and just killed it. Do you know what? It cracked me up so much and made me laugh so much. Because it hadn't occurred to me it could be an impression. That's what it was. It took me by surprise. It just hadn't occurred to me that somebody could do an impression of that. I don't know why, because it's quite a defined, you know, it's quite a defined character.
There's plenty there to work with.
Yeah, there really, really is. And fuck me, I laughed for most of that time.
Oh,
every time you did it.
That's a lovely
And it's something
story.
Just come in and go,
and then
oh.
demanded it for the rest of the time.
Yeah,
demanded me to do it like a dancing monkey.
Did you go, I'll do it, but you have to do the washing up for a week? You could have traded stuff.
I could have done that, couldn't
I? That's what I would have done.
It would have got complicated.
Just do it.
Just like throwing them in a sugar lump. Just
do it. Do the impression of the
mouth. What now?
Yeah, do it. You did more than
that. Sugar and water.
He used to do this thing where he put his head on that and go, where is it?
I'm looking for something. It's very important, mate.
It's an amazing impression.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
But, you know, if he'd have come in then and I said, right, do the impression, but don't turn out who it is. Well, you'd have probably thought it was Jimmy Savile or Tommy Cooper.
Probably, yeah.
You didn't hear Nat's impression of Jimmy Savile.
I got it wrong.
It was meant to be Tommy Cooper. I asked for an impression of Tommy Cooper.
And now then.
How's about that then? Which I didn't... It sort of sounds like something Tommy Cooper would say.
Never drift... In this day and age, you can never drift into Savile. Never accidentally go there.
It's right.
Once you go there, it's hard to get back.
It's very telling if that's your go-to.
But I thought like Tommy Cooper could have said that at some point. I can imagine it with
well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure legally as well.
On stage, Tommy Cooper
could have done that as well.
No, on stage.
Not like that. Like that.
Yeah.
And how's about that? You're mixing up your that.
Your that's.
How's about that?
Which wouldn't be a problem if Jimmy Savile wasn't such a terrible criminal.
Yes, he's a bad one, isn't he?
Was dead. Very dead.
Although I saw someone today that really looked like Jimmy Savile.
Oh, right, yeah.
In Finchley.
Did you?
The cinema is in Finchley there. I went in there because I got a cheeseburger. And I saw a man sat on a wall with
a big cigar.
Just before I came in here, I've been up since half three.
Yeah, so once you get up that time,
this morning, I did Sky News this morning.
Lunchtime's at nine, really.
This is night now for me.
Was he wearing
a shirt?
There's still light outside, so for you, where it's like we're in the Arctic Circle.
It is like that, yeah, a little bit. And then I've got to do a long drive back home as well.
Was he wearing a shell suit?
No, but he had a big cigar and he looked
like
Jimmy Savile.
You sure it wasn't Mick from Chaz and Dave? Because he
had
a big cigar.
I don't think it was Mick from Chaz
and
Dave.
Do you know who had a big cigar? Roger Moore, James Bond. And he made a point of it as opposed to cigarettes. It was one of his defining differences.
When he was playing James Bond?
Yeah.
I can't be arsed with James Bond. I know you like it.
And also, Roger Moore has as many posh cigars as he wants is on his rider for every film.
How old's he?
Well, he's mid-80s now.
He's done all right then, for all them cigars.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he probably just sells them on.
Why'd you...
That's how he's
outside
based
airports.
His lovely Swiss flat. Would you like to buy me a cigar?
Why'd you like James Bond so much?
I like anything genre like that. I like James Bond, I like Harry Potter, I like Star Wars. I just it attracts me, the formatting of things like that.
I like Harry Potter books.
I like the books much more than the films.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't say I don't like Harry Potter and then say you like the books. The books are Harry Potter.
I meant the films.
Well, we're not talking about the films. Who brought up the films? You did.
All right, I really like the books. Then.
Good. Then right. why are we at war over this?
Because I don't like James Bond.
That's fine too. There are a lot of terrible James Bond films.
Don't say there were books first, mate. Don't say films like they're not books.
Which were the bad ones?
Well, that's what you did to me.
Yeah, that is what I did to you. But let's examine the comparison because I forgot
he knows about
more
things.
People. I think will know if you think Bond, they would go Bond films, wouldn't they?
Exactly. Whereas Harry Potter books are some
depends
of the most
when historically
successful
you're talking.
Books. No, it's how many they've sold and how many people have read them. Harry Potter books.
The films are all like the highest grossing films, all of them.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is James Bond books aren't. They weren't famous till the films came out.
They were a bit famous.
They didn't really get famous till after From Russia with Love was recommended by Kennedy. And by then, there were already films.
They're
also two different things in a different way to the Harry Potter books and films.
Have you ever read Diary of a Nobody?
No.
I read it recently. It's brilliant. It's really funny.
Yeah, I want to read it. It's Pooter, Mr. Pooter.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
That's not a
olden days
James
book.
Bond film.
Really old, but I've just read it.
It's the first one that Q's in.
It's a James Bond film.
Yeah.
Right. Book.
And I'm also reading... Have you read Ready Player One? It's a book.
No, you've not read that one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's called Ready Player One. It's brilliant. What is it? It came out in 2005, and it's about... if you read the blurb for it on Amazon or anything like that, it won't sell it at all. But the book was a big breakout book. It was a big, very successful book. Spielberg's making a film of it now.
Oh, Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
This isn't Bond.
It's about a virtual, like a Second Life.
Diary of a Nobody isn't Bond either.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was Judy Blume or something.
Oh, I love Judy Blume.
Yeah, Judy Blume's good, isn't she?
Favourite Judy Blume?
You're
going to say Forever, aren't
you? Yeah, everyone liked Forever at school.
Yeah, I like Tiger Eyes.
Naughty. Super Fudge, I like that one.
Tiger Eyes, where her dad gets shot and she goes to live in the desert.
Have you ever seen the film Inside?
I generally do because that's where the TV's plugged in.
Bang! So, Ready Player One, it's like a virtual Second Life game, right? It's set in the future, sci-fi, it's kind of thing, but a very human story as well. And it's about the guy, this isn't really a spoiler because this is the beginning of the book, they got this guy Halliday who created this Second Life kind of virtual environment. He dies leaving billions and billions of dollars behind, but to no one. So he had no friends and no family. And he's left a film saying somewhere in the Oasis, in this huge Second Life place, you know, false environment, I have hidden keys. And if you find all the keys, you get my fortune. And it's basically about people chasing after those keys and trying to get them.
And is it sprinkled with the songs of Oasis?
No, there's no Oasis songs in it.
Because if it was in the West End, you do it with some might say the treasure's buried somewhere.
No, it's not that.
Oh, this chase isn't going well.
No,
very well.
That's good.
You
gotta
roll with it. No, you gotta see it.
I think Liam Gallagher would be available for that.
He's been like this ever since We Will Rock You. He's been trying to find the next one. And any story that he hears, he goes, how can I link those things together?
Is it Oasis?
He's desperate. He's desperate to make a musical.
That could be the one.
It's brilliant. You'd like it. A lot of pop culture references, a lot of games references, and that sort of thing. You'd like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Then you'd love it. On the front of the book, it says The Matrix meets Willy Wonka, which is kind of accurate, but the blurb on the back just doesn't do it any justice for how good a book
it is. I never read the back of a book. Because I don't want to read Puff, and I don't want to hear the story, so I never do it.
You don't read Puff?
Yeah, in a Puff, like PR. Like Puff.
Oh, okay. Thought it was a book. I don't really puff. I'm no fucking interested in dragons.
It's an Irvin Welsh book.
It sounds like an Irvin Welsh book. And if I wasn't so well versed in Irvin Welsh's work, then I might have gone for that. Investigating a murder in Leaf. So, what do you want?
Oh, I thought you wanted me to come here.
She told me that you were coming.
Marathon. You're doing running for a marathon.
I am. Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Thank you.
Guess how far I ran today while you were eating your cheeseburger?
About 45 metres.
Oh,
about 45 metres.
Go higher.
About 55 metres.
This is going to take too long.
He's doing a marathon.
He's not doing a marathon this morning, though.
I did a fraction of a marathon.
Well, I did a fraction of a marathon this morning.
I did a significant fraction of
a marathon. Mate, I've got an home gym. I work out I'm not
trying to compete with you.
But that's
not
I know that I'm running. Fatty boy, and I'm happy with that because I carry on eating. I'm going to carry on eating, but working out as well. So I'm not working out to lose weight. It's for health reasons. But I do half an hour.
What, running?
I do not running. I can't run, my tits would hit me. But I do about like maybe 12, 13 minutes on a cross trainer.
Do you?
Yeah. To get my heart rate up.
I should imagine a cross trainer would suit you. Because you're always cross.
Is it? And then I go on my own gym and do all the weights and stuff.
Oh.
I'm pretty strong at the moment.
Talking to gym, you know some good impressions, don't you?
Oh, no.
Can you do anyone? Who can you do that?
How's about that then? There we go. Back to gym.
One and a half miles.
I ran 18 miles today.
Wow.
That's two-thirds of a marathon.
Well, why are you drinking Iron Brew now after doing all that good work?
Because I can have some sugar because, you know, I need it to replace sugars quickly. It's a special treat.
Where did you run from and to?
I live in N16 and I ran north to Finsbury Park and then picked up the Parkland Walk, which is an old railway, and I met Paul Tonkinson.
Okay.
We ran eight...
Deliberately?
Yes.
We ran 8-9 miles up round Alexander Palace and Highgate Wood.
Right.
And then I ran to Islington and then back to my house.
Then did you go in Highgate Wood and kiss each other for a bit? Because that's what it sounds like. You're going away from your wives to have a kiss and a cuddle.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And say you're going running.
It's like Brokeback Mountain in North London.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Is that what you do?
There was no sheep or gayness. But apart from that, yeah.
Exactly like that.
That was it.
Why? What are you doing that for?
Well, I'm training. I love to run anyway. And I'm doing, as you mentioned, the Berlin Marathon at the end of September.
You're doing it for charity?
Yeah, I think it's going to go well unless I hit the wall.
He liked it.
I'm doing that for Parkinson's UK.
Okay.
Running the Berlin Marathon for Parkinson's UK.
It's a bit of a piss take, that, isn't it, really? Got very restricted mobility.
Yeah.
And you're like just running around Germany.
Yeah, wow. That's right. But if I raise a lot of money.
Is that why you're doing it? Okay. Are you doing it to take the piss out of people's Parkinson's?
Well, no, it's because my dad's got Parkinson's.
Well, my granddad has Parkinson's as well.
Yeah, don't mean
it's off the record on jokes.
I talk in my set about, I do a joke, which some people find fairly offensive, but I wrote it because my dad had Parkinson's. And then when the people get upset, I point out to, basically I run for charity to make up for the joke.
Right, it's really like herring with it, yeah. Oh. With his scope business, because he killed some. Have you done a marathon before?
This will be my fifth.
Wow.
I know, it's odd, isn't it, when you think of it? I mean, when we were living in that flat and going, you wouldn't expect me to go for a run, let alone
No, you weren't. I think you kind of shifted some weight at that point, hadn't you?
No, I think
you had.
No, that was years before.
I was thinking that I thought I had some pictures of you, but then I realised that all I've got pictures of from that time is your toe.
Your toe?
Yeah.
Rob's got a monkey toe.
Have you?
Yeah, which you love. You love.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it as a thing.
How is it monkey?
What's funny about, I was thinking about my feet the other day, because they're pretty grim. You know, where sandals are running.
It's only
a lot.
That toe.
I've got a deformed toe. Yeah. I think you can't say deformed now.
Is it webbed?
Differently abled toe.
Ingrown?
Got a backward toe.
It's a hammer toe, which means that, stop! and I always give my feet a hard time, but you know, I run on them a lot. They work well. They're not pronate or anything. I'm neutral.
They serve you.
And I use them. I hit my pedals with them all the time as well.
Do you go on a bike?
But shall I? Do you want to see?
I don't know. Yeah, I do, because I don't know what hammer toe is.
Oh, do you know what? Do you know what's great about this? She's got an issue with feet.
I mean,
this will be amazing.
Yeah,
this
is good radio.
I'm gonna have a photo of it. I'm gonna have a photo of it. So I'm gonna try and get Nat's face. Nat, put your head up.
What is a hammer toe, please?
You'll find out in a minute.
We'll find out in a second.
So, ready, Nat?
3, 2,
go.
Oh, there is this.
What is that? What is it?
What do you mean, what is it? What do you think
it's
it is?
Toe. It's kind of hooked up over the next one.
Nat, do you like
never,
it? Do you like it, Nat?
Do you want it to touch it?
No, I don't want to touch it. Nat, please touch don't make me touch it. I don't want to touch it.
I'm so offended.
Jesus.
Look, what would be the harm in you just having a little lick of Rob's toe?
No!
Why would that be harm? Why would be the harm of that?
You know how I feel about toes.
I smashed up my toe the other week. Horrible. Like, went all the nail all black and lots of blood came out and stuff. And she's like that.
Yeah, I don't really work
how
with
how do you get hammer toe? What do you do
it's
to it?
It's just born with it.
Oh, you're born with it?
Yeah.
Don't run in for that then.
I'm the next stage of evolution. We don't need toes.
What's happened? And also, what's happened then, Nat, is you've just essentially.
I feel bad now.
If Rob was five now.
Yeah, he'd be.
You've essentially just gone to a disabled child.
I know.
Sorry, toe shaming. Toe shaming.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rob. Everyone, love your toes.
Do you want to kiss it?
I don't want to kiss a toe. Toes.
You don't have to suck it, but do you want to just put it in your mouth?
No. Definitely don't want
to. How often have you asked that?
I can't be Quite a few times.
You don't have to suck it, just pop it in your mouth. And then go with wherever the wind takes you.
I've got to attend to these sandals.
Yeah, pop your deformity back in your sandals.
Yes, I don't. It's a differently able.
I don't think you were bigger at that point. I really don't think you were, because you were. You know, you've just ripped. You're like proper sort of slim.
I'm buff, aren't I? I'm like a.
And again, I don't like it. It's not. I know it makes you happier, and I know you're fitter and all the rest of it. Same with Gamble. I just don't like it.
I'm sorry.
Why?
I know, you can do what you want. Because I just remember him.
Right.
I remember Rob how he was, and he was nice. He's nice now, but it was a different nice.
Right.
And I like, you know, and Gamble's the same. He's nice now, but it was a different nice before.
Has anybody done the reverse?
Died.
It was like, it was an apology. It's like, we used to be more apologetic, and now we just feel great.
So has anybody got fat and been horrible? Has anyone been skinny, got fat, and then turned horrible? Like the reverse way that you're saying, I prefer them. Like,
none of these have not gone horrible.
Not horrible, I mean, but changed. Not,
I think
in
you're
the
thinking
way that
of
like,
the Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's what you're, You completely
confuse me.
You have just described the film of the Nutty, the entire plot of the Nutty Professor. I was talking to Michelle Gale this morning about this.
And
about people losing. No, it wasn't on the news, it was just in private. And we were talking about people losing weight and people getting fit and all that sort of thing. And I can't remember what I was going to say.
What did she say and what did you say? Do you remember the conversation?
If I try and remember the conversation, then that might end up telling the story, mightn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm trying to remember.
Anyway, just while you're remembering, I lost a load of weight in 2008.
Yeah.
And I'm different now, aren't I? I'm a different fellow.
But you're still funny in the same way.
I know, I think I'm funny in a slightly different way.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah. Because I don't think I'm... I think I used to look funny the moment I got to the microphone.
You looked more like Chief Wiggum then. So even though you can still say Chief Wiggum now, it was funnier then.
Exactly, and I don't even do that anymore. And that's gold. That was really offended the first time someone pointed that out. But
you like Chief Wiggum, and he did.
I do, but I used to look like him more. Because before I lost weight, also my hair was blue and my skin was yellow. And I used to wear a uniform.
So I was sat in a chair, Michelle Gale came in a room.
But you didn't do jokes, or did you do jokes about your size when you were a bit bigger?
Yeah, I did a bit.
Oh, you did, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so I lost a couple of lines. But it was worth it.
You got toe jokes?
Yeah, we used to do that. That hammer toe.
Okay, you still have that.
Yeah, yeah. But taking shoes off is such a hassle.
Yeah, that's true.
It was so great that I was wearing sandals. Slip them off if you want to see it again.
If you want to rub it on your face.
No, I definitely don't want any toe on my face.
Imagine if you did that. It's not even sexy, this. But imagine if you just put it on your boob, just like into your top and then just against your nipple.
I don't want to rub a toe on my nipple.
So the toe is touching the nipple.
There's no...
It'll make it hard whether you like it or not.
I don't want a toe touching my nipple.
I'm not into that either.
I'll just hold your leg while you do it, so you don't have to be...
what are you holding?
You're not proactive in that at all.
Don't mind me. Okay.
No,
I basically
toes.
Said to Michelle Gale that I wonder if the reason I get cross people losing weight is because I use that. Like me and Ed in the double act, I quite liked that we were both fat lads, and I quite liked that, and there was something very, I think, very charming about it and very non-apologetic about it and that. And then when one of those people then... drops load of weight.
It's like a betrayal.
It's not entirely a betrayal, but it made me feel uncomfortable. It definitely did when it first happened. It made me feel uncomfortable for two reasons. One, because I thought he was losing too much weight too fast. Mm-hmm. And as his friend, as someone who cares for him, I was genuinely worried about him. And people coming up saying, Ed, you look great. And I was like, please, but you're encouraging this. I don't.
Yeah.
No, I was genuinely about him. And the second thing is as well, from my point of view, from an ego point of view, is I suddenly became the fat one. So suddenly, we were defined as the fat one and the thin one.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because it's basically because you were in a relationship with someone who then changed. I mean, I'm not saying you're in a relationship, not like that.
Both of those things are true.
Yeah.
But
still fancied each other.
My wife was with me for years before I lost weight, and now she's like, sometimes, it's not most of the time, it's just normal, but if I look different, because I do look different.
Yeah.
I wear glasses sometimes now. If I'm wearing my glasses, she sometimes goes,
she likes it or she doesn't like it.
I'm a different person.
Like she's having an affair with a different you.
Yeah. But not like that. We don't do role play or anything. It's more like if I'm just walking into the living room.
Oh, Morrissey, what are you doing here?
I was Morrissey, by the way, not you know, Howard Shipman. Or
good to check.
I have been led to believe by my girlfriend that if I lost weight, she would, not that she would find me less attractive because she likes me. She says it all the time. She goes, "I like you." She says it all the time.
Oh, that's lovely.
She comes in. She goes, "You know, what?
Touching.
She goes, "You know what? I like you." Like that. She says it like that. But I think she would find me less attractive, physically attractive, if I lost weight, which is bizarre. That's bizarre for me at this stage of my life. But she maintains that, and she's like sort of super slim and, you know, sort of svelte and fit.
Yeah, and but I don't know if it's quite the same, because my, you know, I think my wife still fancies me.
Yeah,
but the fact that she wouldn't
care.
She wouldn't care either way. In a way, was part of what made it possible. I wasn't doing it to impress her, because she went, you know, she was, that's her, but like combined, the fictionalised her that was part dog. So she never did that. And I, in a weird kind of way, I don't think I could have lost weight if I'd had that pressure.
Yeah. I remember asking Ed about, in fact, this sounds like a name dropping, I promise it's not, it was Matt Lucas who
You're
asked
asking
it.
Michelle Gale.
Michelle Gale, Matt Lucas.
Gary Glitter.
Gary Glitter.
Yeah, me and Ed went around Matt Lucas's house once, right? Yeah. Why is none of your business? Yeah. But Matt Lucas asked Ed, it wasn't long after he lost weight, and he said, "Did you have the same girlfriend now as you had before you lost weight?" And he said, yeah, does she prefer you now, or does she prefer you then? And Ed was like, the jury's kind of out. Ed was trying to work it out and trying to find out. And I don't know to this day if he's got a definitive answer or not.
And was there a real jury?
There was an actual jury in Matt Lucas.
Like 12 people.
I'm not meant to say these things about Matt, because Matt Lucas is a very private man, so I don't want to be telling people.
He shouldn't have told everyone about his jury.
In his London home, he has a room with a jury in it.
Right, yeah. I think that was a hotel.
No, it was his home.
It wasn't the jury's inn?
Actually, yeah, it was. It wasn't Matt Lucas. It was
a tramp.
Yeah, the tramp at Jury's End.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that he just hangs around outside and looks for people dropping the key card. And then when he gets the key card, he lets me and Ed come in and says, "Come on in this room. Come up where I ask you about your relationships." That's what it was. Where did I get fucking Matt Lucas from?
What about Michelle Gale? Did you ever remember? Did you say?
I just told you.
What did she say?
She said.
Her role in the story was very passive.
Well, she sort of looked at me. And she went, "Do you know what, Ray? Your sweetness.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah.
Is my weakness." Said that.
And you said, "I thought that was because you were solute. There's too much water in."
No. And I looked at her and I said, "Give it a rest, Michelle."
Because with like squash,
that was the end of it.
Squash, the sweetness is the opposite of the weakness.
Yes.
If you add lots of liquid, it will actually be less sweet.
There were a lot of flaws.
She should add a bit at the end where she says, "Except in the context of
squash." Well, look. Your marathon is when?
Oh, yeah. Sponsor
September.
Me.
September.
Well, no. Your listeners.
September.
Listener.
It's UK.
Mom, will you sponsor Rob Deering?
No.
uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Rob Deering.
I'll say that again, but slowly, yeah.
uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Rob Deering. You can also follow Rob Deering on Twitter. He is an attorney in San Diego.
And what's your Twitters?
Deering Rob. It's the other
Deering
way
around. Deering Rob.
With a double E in Deering.
And also, you're doing a gig, Shake with Laughter, at the Comedy Store in October.
Yes, that's a couple weeks after. That's a Parkinson's
More Parkinson's
gig.
Stuff.
The Comedy Store, that'll be good.
Okay.
Stuart Lee.
Who's on that?
Stuart Lee, Kerry Godleyman, Nish Kumar.
Right.
Can't remember the others.
Have you put this gig together?
Yes.
And you can't remember who you've booked?
Not offhand.
Do you need an impressionist? Do you not think that it's fine, Bill, but do you not think that
Citizens
Bill...
Citizens of Maine?
Don't know who that is. Nat, stop scribbling.
Sorry.
Do you not think that gig would benefit from having an impressionist on as well?
Oh, Danny,
It's a very full bill.
No, not Danny.
Otherwise, that might be nice.
No, she's only got one impression. So
it would be long.
I mean, are you having breaks? You're having, like, little breaks in it during the night?
Is there an impression during the break?
Just shove her on the stage. just explain. Are you comparing?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. So
I think I am comparing.
So just go, guys, going to have a break now. But why? Cause some people will want to go to the toilet, some people won't. So for those of you who want to stay in the seats, stay there. We're still going to, like, this is non-essential entertainment. this is Natalie from Freeboard Radio. I'm just going to do her impressions for you.
I will take that to the charity and see what they say.
I mean, I think they're going to like Savile. I've only got now then, now then. Need some other key phrases that he said.
He didn't even say now then, now then.
What did he say?
He said, how's about that then? Oh, he said, no, what
Who
was
says
it?
Now then,
he
now
said,
then?
Now then, now then.
No, I said she didn't say it.
Oh, I've got two. I've got two now. I've got two new Savile things.
What else have you got?
How's about that then? Now then, now then.
Now's the time for a Savile impression.
Well, McGowan's done all right out of it. Sorry, Rob Jones just drinking some of his water. Is that part of your training as well?
No, it's part of my, just staying alive. Do you know, I've got a gig tonight as well.
Have you? Where are you
gigging
at? I'm
at the Good Ship in Kilburn.
What's that like? Oh, I've done that, it's lovely.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm at the Green Man, you're drinking your water.
Friday.
Just having some water,
Friday,
just to show that I'm keeping
beacons.
Healthy as well.
So competitive.
Well, are you at the Green Man?
If I'd come in here with a nosebleed, you would have a bigger nosebleed.
Got an iPhone 6. I don't even know if I got my phone out now, Rob. iPhone 6.
On Friday, are you going to be at the Green Man Festival in Brecon Beacons? Because Robert,
I'm doing Beat This at the Green Man.
Oh, that's nice.
I think Green Man's sold out, but that's Beat This. That's Beat This.
Yeah, love
it. Fun.
Love it.
That's going to be good.
Some of the few times I've ever been drunk on stage happily.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing where it can be okay, and it isn't normally okay, is it, being drunk on stage?
No, not at all. No, and I feel very uncomfortable with it, but yeah. I know that inevitably when me and Ed would do Beat This on the same team together. In fact, I don't think we've ever done it where we've not been on the same team together. No. I know Ed has, but I don't think I've ever been on there with Ed.
Well, we'll have to rectify that.
I liked doing it with Ed. It was fun because we sort of feed into each other's mischief. But I know the first one we did at the Fringe last year was one of the happiest I've ever been on stage ever. It was just really funny. And then the next one we did, we tried to replicate that, and we just came across as cocks. Like, we just properly, do you know what I mean? You can feel it in the room going, oh, they were laughing last time when we did this. When we took the drums to pieces, everyone was laughing. And tonight they're going, this isn't what this is about.
It's spoiling it.
Yeah,
it's probably. But don't you find that people in Edinburgh over time sort of lose their sense of humour?
Possibly,
so get very inured to gigs, so they're much harder to surprise.
Do you mean over the 3.5 weeks of Edinburgh?
And we're doing an amazing Beat This. It was just so, what was going on was so crazy. It was like shouting and improvising, and there were blow up dolls and people falling off the stage, and it was so freeform. It was like crazy jazz, and it was the last weekend of the festival 2 years ago, I think, and the audience was just like it's good stuff. They were enjoying it, but you couldn't surprise them.
Well, do you think it's possible that you could see too much comedy in Edinburgh?
It is possible. Yeah.
And then by the end of it, you're like, I have forgotten how to properly
But anyway,
laugh.
You can see too much comedy
just
anyway,
generally,
you?
Yeah. That you're
like comedians do. It's much harder to make a comedian in your audience laugh.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does, yeah.
Got any more questions?
No.
So that'll be nice to Beat This at the Green Man. That's going to be good.
Who's done it?
It's going to be England-Wales face-off.
All of England and all of Wales. So it's got bigger, this, hasn't it? Is the thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's 3-on-3 as opposed to 2-on-2.
Is it really?
And it's Dan Atkinson and Alexis Dubus and Josh Howie.
Yeah, and
versus
the English.
versus Chris Corcoran, Hugh Stevens and Mike Bubbins.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
And you'd be hosting, as always.
Yeah, yeah.
We should explain what Beat This is.
I don't know what it is.
It's my comedy pop quiz.
Okay.
It's amazing.
I love a pop quiz. I love a quiz.
Yeah, well, I do. The quiz is quite straightforward. It's like mashups and medleys, but they play them all live.
Yeah.
But it's always late. It's always, you do it after everything else, and it's very, it's very freeform, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the quiz is really solid, so we just go,
good.
Rob gets a bit, but it might just be me, but Rob sometimes gets a little bit arsy if you take it too far. Is right. It's his show. It totally is right to do that.
Yeah.
But because even though it's freeform, you can.
You can go too far, can't you?
I think I always arrive with that in my head, going, right, let's see, I wonder how long...
You've
I wonder how long
Rob
will put up with this before you can see that he is getting genuinely pissed off.
Well, in real terms, because that's my job, sometimes I'm really like, I would just love to let this happen.
Yeah.
But instead, I press on.
I remember doing one once where I lost and was so angry that I stormed off. And then I walked past the back of the stage like Eric Morecambe.
Yeah, which was really far back in that venue. It was fantastic. It was
I stormed out and I can't believe I've not won this, and went. And I reckon there was another like 5 minutes or so. And then I just walked with my bag and back out, which I still genuinely still sulking.
Yeah.
But I remember coming off stage.
But what you should have done then is released a dove, and then it would have been like Mission Impossible.
Right, fine. We've got to wrap up. But in future, whenever I should I be invited again, I'll make sure I always have a Dove with me.
Yeah.
Just in case I don't win.
You never know. Yeah.
And on the bus, the man will say, "Why have you got a Dove?" And I'll say, "Just in case I don't win, beat this."
That sounds good. Can you do it at Latitude next year?
I love the way you introduced the bus and the man to that story.
And on the bus, the man will say. Yeah, the man on the bus will say. Well, look, Rob.
Please do it at Latitude next year, Sunday night. That'll be exactly what I needed this year.
I'm into it. I'll look into it.
Yeah, okay.
No, wait. Don't program your career about what's convenient
for us.
I'd love to do Beat This at Latitude.
Yeah,
it'd be
great. Perfect there.
Yeah.
It would really work well.
What? Yeah.
You don't.
Twatitude.
Whoa, hold on a minute.
Where did that come from?
Something's repressed there. What's going on? What's Latitude done to you?
There's some night. No, it's not done anything to me at all. I just find it a very.
It's a
narrow.
Lovely weekend.
Yeah, we're no black people.
That's not true.
It's middle class people avoiding black people for the weekend.
There were definitely black people there.
That's what I've decided. Well, yeah. Do you know what? When I went to Latitude,
yeah.
I honestly didn't see one black person in thousands of people.
Why are you looking for them?
I noticed that there weren't.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's a narrower demographic than the people at the festival might think. Because they're like, we're at a festival, we're so crazy. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but you're very middle class.
Yeah.
I went to Kent Bestival the other week. Brilliant.
How was that?
Good fun.
Nice.
A lot of little kids in trolleys, a lot of wagons, not a kid dragon. And somebody said if you got your own, because it's a family festival, so there's loads of kids, but they're asleep, so they're in a wagon. Yeah. You just think, well, is that fun, really? You might as well just put the wagon in front of you and push it around Tesco.
Just leave them in the car. For the weekend.
Keep a window open, though.
We've got to finish.
Okay.
Rob Deering.
Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming. Appreciate that.
It's nice to see you.
It was nice to see you.
Sorry,
as well.
Sorry, I showed you my time.
It's okay. It's all right. I'm going to go for a lie down now.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success.